like your private health insurance plan, you can keep your plan. Period.
Nothing in this plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage of the doctor you have.
If you are among the hundreds of millions of Americans who already have insurance, nothing in my plan will require you or your employer to change the coverage or the doctor you have.
If you want to keep the health insurance you got, you can keep it. If you like it.
I am sorry that they are finding themselves in this situation based on assurances they got from me. We've got to work hard to make sure that they know we hear them and that we're going to do everything we can to deal with folks who find themselves.
My Republican opponents will try to equate health care for all Americans with government-run health care. Well, don't let them fool us again. This is not government-run. There will be no new bureaucracies. You can keep the doctors you know and trust. You keep the insurance you have, if you like it.
Then I have to say, stop. You're wrong. You're crazy. That's what I have to say, and if I sound angry, it's because...
No, it's interesting. I mean, a couple of weeks in politics, as you know, can be an eternity. A few weeks ago, there were lots of people, particularly in Washington, that were saying, why are you guys fighting so hard on this? And with just the passage of a few weeks, people aren't asking that anymore. I don't get that question anymore. People all over are saying, okay, now I understand why y'all were fighting. And what I do think there was vindication for is the millions of Americans all across this country who back in September, back in October, were standing up saying, Obamacare isn't working, it's killing our jobs, and it's going to take away our health.
As far as the Tea Party and others are concerned, it's anybody to the left of Ted Cruz is a rhino, a Republican in name only, which, as I say, is an insult. But you know what? The real rhinos are the people in the Tea Party and on the hard right, because they have made it clear over and over again that their allegiance is not to the Republican Party, but to their particular
brand. I think government is inherently inefficient. The other side thinks government can do anything. They have this great faith that government can fix any problem. And the way I see it is the private marketplace is miraculous in distributing goods because they have to have a profit motive. Government doesn't have a profit motive, so government's not very good at most things. And so you don't want to give government new responsibilities. Another good way to look at this in simple terms is Medicare was already $35 trillion short. Why would we want to add new mandates, a new entitlement program, when we can't even fund the one we have?
You can keep your rhino. If you like your rhino. As Obama and his Democrats flail to cover up their mistake or intended result, one nobody wants, the rhinos speak against Obamacare, which, if you remember, was RomneyCare first, while they work assiduously to bring about its implementation. This is Washington Kabuki Theater at its best, or worst, depending on your perspective. Kabuki Theater is an over-the-top, bizarre Japanese theater, and it's also a great analogy for that which goes on in the Imperial City. The politicians furnish you with a theatrical cover for their dastardly shenanigans in order to pit left against right and roll on with the corruption under the cover of false conflict. The truth is, the Imperial establishment seeks the same goal, absolute power. Yet every now and then, the American experiment in self-governance actually works, and people see through the veil of deceit. Obamacare is failing at increasingly rapid rates. Of course, that might be the actual intention. So rather than press for an actual reform, the so-called opposition party provides cover for their counterparts. If this disaster is fully executed, our economy dies. Millions will be without medical insurance or access to physicians, and they will be competing for an ever-shrinking pool of private sector jobs. Not to mention millions of illegal trespassers who will be brought into the system and made citizens at a time when one out of four Americans is either unemployed or underemployed. The Republican Party, quote, leadership, is providing cover for Democrats. Again, while seeking to undermine and box in the real conservatives. This D.C. Kabuki theater reveals the lie of Democrats versus Republicans and exposes the real battleground. We, the people, versus the corrupt establishment in both parties. You gotta think about what's really going on here, and it's pretty sad. If you want constitutionally limited government restored, if you truly believe in liberty and sovereignty, then you must purge the surrendering, lying, cheating, squishy rhinos from the Republican Party. We need more conservative and libertarian grassroots working together, and we need a force multiplier. So wake up the sheep before it's too late. You have a choice. You work hard now to further liberty by having real conservative and real libertarians take over the GOP, or watch the statists in both parties push their agenda to their benefit and our demise. Now is the last chance to stop those who want to fundamentally transform our republic into an empire abroad and a police state at home. End the destruction of our economy by the Republican-Democrat duopoly and their masters at the Federal Reserve by standing with the real conservatives who were right to demand the repeal or at least the delay of Obamacare. To defeat the Democrat socialists, first, you must crush the rhinos. You are live on Liberty's Thunder with Rex and Trog. Irreverent, relevant, and radioactive conservatism with a bite. I'm your host, Rex, broadcasting to you from the stage of Kabuki Theater, the Imperial City.
Oh, and this is Trog. I got my big club out tonight. Yeah, that was a great opening there, and I love your clip. Now I know why you were taking so long. I thought, what is he doing today? But you did a great job merging that stuff together. And, you know, I think what I find interesting, and this is the thing that we attempt to do, and I think we do it well. Sometimes we're chasing our, you know, our rear ends to even, you know, be ready by this time on every Sunday night. But very important thing here is there's so many facets that are not being talked about. Rand Paul's little piece on that clip, which is off of a broader interview, talks about why in the hell would we want, you know, Medicare is $35 trillion in the hole. $35 trillion in the hole. Unsustainable program. And you can argue whether it's an entitlement or a paid-for program. Yeah, people pay into it, but that's an insurance payment that is not paying for it. And they steal the money and spend it on their lavish parties and, you know, ruin the economy, and then they tell you they may not be able to take care of you. So you have that facet. And Rand hit it on the nail head, and it's something that just blows me away, that the average person believes a word that these Democrats have spewed about this whole Obamacare plan from the beginning. Number one, when it was pushed through, there was a little bit of Kabuki theater went on at that point in time. And for those of you who don't remember that history, go back and study it. You know, they pulled some fast ones and they pushed it through. Republicans were fighting it tooth and nail, knowing we would be right where we're at. You know, there's a lot of people understand that socialism doesn't work. There's a lot of people who understand that over-empowered government doesn't work, i.e. Medicare, post office, Social Security, just name it, you know, the war machine. Anything you touch, the federal government touches, they overbloat, it becomes corrupt, it becomes a monstrosity, and then you get to pay for it, and then we spend all of our time and energy arguing over these stupid programs instead of building our country and building our market. And that is so key. And of course, the Cruz clip, you know, he talks about that. He talks about, I've been there 10 months, and we've never talked about the economy or what it's going to take to fix the economy. We're on gun control. We're on, you know, amnesty. We're on Obamacare. We're on all these things that are destructive to our society and our freedoms. And they never talk about the thing that we have to be a free country or to be the, you know, the number one country in the world, and that is a real economy. And I thought that was a very good point that he brought that up. You never hear it in Washington. You never hear the issues like Medicaid's broke, and it's been cut, by the way, folks. The next shoe that's going to drop, doctors, they're either retiring or they're getting kicked off the markets. I just, you know, with that last article that I just posted, we can scan through. You know, multiple doctors are being cut off the Medicaid rolls because Medicaid's been cut. So they're going, well, we can't afford this many doctors. I mean, you know, can you keep your doctor? I doubt it. You know, it's obviously already we're at a point where people are realizing you ain't going to keep your insurance, you know, including some of these colleges that probably 99% of them voted for Obama. You know, and you have that clip, I'm sure. So here
we
are.
Yeah, they believe the lie.
Yeah, here we are. Oh, yeah, and you know what's amazing? If you want to hear this stuff, you know, you don't have to listen to Obama. Just go back and listen to some Stalin, Hitler, all of them, Mussolini. They all said the same thing. The terminology is there. Socialism requires a subservient people, and one of the key things to enacting socialism or communism or totalitarianism, whatever ism you pick, one of the key things is socialized medicine. And I'll tell you what, it is a mess.
Or corporatized medicine, because this ain't really socialized. This
is
corporatized.
It's the same.
You're forcing
people
to buy a product. Yeah, it's a mess.
Sure.
I agree with you.
And you know, go ahead.
No. Finish up.
Well, and so, you know, I'm just kind of spewing a little bit, you know, just a little bits and pieces, but there are so many things that are not being talked about in the news that are vital, and hopefully we can cover those things tonight to help you understand what's really going on behind the scenes, because it's a mess and it's going to get worse. And when we should be building our country and repairing our economy, we're enacting this multiple trillion-dollar debacle that affects one of the most primary things in our lives. This is like food, water, air, and health care. You know, that's pretty primary. Yeah. And gasoline and energy for your house. We're talking primary stuff here. So anyway, that's my input on that. And I know we got a lot of stuff to roll off of, so, you know, I'll just listen and react.
Yeah, we're going to have to move pretty fast, but you know, the interesting thing about Kabuki Theater is that there are really no female actresses in Kabuki Theater. It's just men, and the men dress up as women, which explains a lot of the Republicans, like say Lindsey Graham. It also explains why all those Democrats look like constipated 80-year-old men, even if they present themselves as women. It's Kabuki Theater. That's how it works. But the real fact is that the scary thing about the Kabuki Theater that's going on in D.C. is not so much the game between the two parties. It is the game within the GOP. These rhinos spent more time, energy, and money boxing in conservatives and libertarians who believe in the rule of law, who believe in the Constitution, who believe they were elected to uphold and defend it, rather than fighting the Democrats. And that's what has to be understood. You, Mr. and Mrs. Grassroots, have to inform the rank-and-file Republican voter who just votes for the pachyderm or the red color without wondering if the person is actually a constitutionalist, a real conservative. And you also have to reach out to your libertarian friends who are conservative libertarians, not the liberal libertarians. Remember, libertarianism is a wide spectrum. The liberal libertarians are going to vote for the LP or the Green Party. They might even vote Democrat. But conservative libertarians, which I believe is the bulk of libertarians who believe in the Constitution, who adhere to Austrian economics, you have to teach them to understand. And I have no love for the GOP. I could care less. It's just an organization. But the simple fact is, at the national level, until you break open the ballot access and change the way that we vote so that it is more open and fair, you're going to get a Democrat or a Republican in office. I mean, there's a couple of independents up there. There's Bernie Sanders, who's a socialist. He caucuses with the Democrats. And you got Lieberman, who's really a Democrat, who just had to run as an independent because they didn't like his position on the neocon war that George Bush was waging. But there's really no independents up there, and it's not going to happen until you change it at your local level. That's not going to happen in 2014. That's not going to happen in 2016. So you have two choices. Either let the Democrats rule or take over the GOP. And the fact is that we do have real conservatives and real libertarians and real constitutionalists in the GOP, and it is time to start supporting them. And that's what this show is about. This show is going to be taking on not a different direction. We're still going to be talking about conservatism. We're still going to be radioactive. And we're still going to bring you real grassroots information so that you can sift through the media noise. But this show is no longer the Tex and Rex show. From this day forward, this show is called Liberty's Thunder. And that's because we are the loud, thunderous voice of liberty. You are the loud, thunderous voice of liberty. So please change your settings when you look for us on Blog Talk Radio after today. Don't search for Tex and Rex. Search for Liberty's Thunder. And please go to our Facebook page, which is Liberty's Thunder. That's L-I-B-E-R-T-Y-S-T-H-U-N-D-E-R. Facebook, and like the page. If you like the page on Facebook, you will get notifications in your news feed as to when we are broadcasting and other relevant information and action items to take on bills or other things that need to be done from a conservative grassroots perspective. Keep in mind that if you see the picture out there of the show on Facebook or Twitter, share it, retweet it, post it elsewhere. Get the information out there. There is no marketing budget for this show. Chris and I pay for this, and there is no money left for advertising. So you have to do it. It is your responsibility, and we appreciate everybody who's been sharing the show and getting it out there so that this information can get into people's hands. If you're listening right now in Blog Talk Radio, you can keep listening in your browser until midnight, at which time the Blog Talk Radio will cut you off and we'll be going into overtime. The only way you can listen is to call in, which is 646-649-1013. If you're listening to your mobile device, it's the same thing. If you're listening in podcast, just keep rolling on through. And remember that anytime you go to our page, which right now is the Tex and Rex show page, and as of tomorrow it will be Liberty's Thunder on Blog Talk Radio, you can scroll down and catch all of the old shows and listen to them anytime in your mobile device or your browser. And if you go below the scrolling graphics and you right-click Download Episode, you can get an MP3 to play in your MP3-enabled device, or burn a CD, which you can hand out to people, go take it to, you know, your Tea Party meetings, Republican Party meetings, AA, NA, I don't care whatever meetings you go to, just take it, get this word out there, and you don't have to agree with everything Chris and I say. But what you have to realize is you have to sift through the corporatist media and the party line memes, because it is designed to manage your mind and keep you pitted left versus right in this endless game of throwing the bums out and electing new bums in. And in the meantime, the federal government just keeps getting bigger and bigger and more problems, as this debacle is clearly showing. If you notice that, you know, the first thing Obama did when he became president was to fix all the messes George Bush made instead of bombing everybody. Oh, wait, no, he did continue to bomb everybody. But he first went on that global apology tour for America's foreign policy, and then he started bombing and droning people with his Nobel Peace Prize. But now he's doing that again. He's gone on this sort of apology tour over the fact that he said if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, or you like your plan, you can keep your plan, and that didn't seem to work out. Here's 1 minute on Obama apologizing, so to speak.
You're an alcoholic. You have to apologize. Step nine.
I'm so sorry that I didn't want your rather bulbous head struggling to find its way through the normal size neckle of my finely knit sweater.
Jerry, I felt like a straight man in some horrible sketch. He was riffing! Riffing! Am I paying?
So now you want an apology for the apology plus the original apology?
That's right. I'm two in the hole.
Is there some unresolved issue between you and Jason?
I don't know. A little something called step nine? Instead of an apology, he was bebopping and scatting all over me. That man is a step skipper. He skips step nine. He never apologized to me for saying that I would stretch out the neck hole on his sweater. Wasn't funny.
Take a look at his neck. Not to mention the melon sitting on top of it. I don't know if I trust him with a V-neck.
He's bebopping and scatting, and I'm looking at
it. Oh, sorry. That wasn't Obama. That was that other buffoon, Costanza. But the point is made. When James Spader apologized to George Costanza, he said, I'm sorry that your big bulbous head stretched out my cashmere sweater. Well, that's the same apology that Obama gave you. He didn't apologize for ruining your insurance program, separating you from your doctor. Oh, Rex, that's not true. It's only affected 5 million people so far. Hey, you know what? Those 5 million people are pretty pissed off, and when that number jumps up to 130 million, you'll probably be one of them. So get ahead of this thing. The very simple fact is that he didn't apologize for what he did. He apologized that we're in the predicament. Well, you put us in this predicament. And, you know, there are some in the media that are still, you know, running cover for this guy, Chris, but some of them are starting to realize that their credibility might be on the line if they do that. Some of the Democrats are playing politics, even though they vehemently supported this thing without any Republican votes, and then they had an opportunity to fix what they realized long ago was going to be a cancellation of people's insurance plans, and the Democrats voted against it, chiefly this Mary Landrieu character from Louisiana who's now saying, oh, I'm going to propose this fix. Well, you could have voted for the fix last year and the year before, but you didn't. Now that you got to be reelected, you're voting for it. It's absolutely hideous. But no, here's the real clip. I believe this is ABC, which is you know, a bunch of lefties on there, and Justin Amash, who's a conservative libertarian congressman from Michigan. And if you're up in Michigan, please support him and also realize that the neocons and the rhinos are going after guys like Justin Amash. So whatever you can do anywhere in the country to help someone like Justin Amash, please do it. Here's ABC News talking with Justin Amash talking about delaying Obamacare. This was before the shutdown, before the Ted Cruz Mike Lee initiative. Just listen to what Justin Amash was telling them.
And Congressman Amash, let me bring this to you. The president talking about these looming showdowns over the potential government shutdown this week. We hit the debt limit on October 18th, I believe. And you saw the president. I pushed back a few times. He certainly seems to be saying he is not going to negotiate at all over the debt limit, despite the precedents. And he's banking, I believe, on Republicans in the House either falling apart or caving.
Well, we have to have compromise. The president himself is arguing that we're not willing to compromise. We're willing to compromise. And part of that compromise means when you want to borrow more money, we're going to have some cuts in government. And that's all Republicans are asking for. And we're not talking about draconian cuts. We're talking
about... Well, you have a strong faction asking for defunding Obamacare, though.
We're talking about delaying Obamacare for a year, and which is something the president has asked for with their employer mandate, so let's delay it for everyone. I think we're doing the president a favor if we delay. If the program is not ready to be implemented, if anything, the president should be asking us to delay it because it's better for him politically.
Does he see it as a favor?
I don't think so at all.
Yeah, that's real friggin' funny. Now, that was Justin Amash stating why conservatives wanted at least a delay if they couldn't get a repeal of Obamacare before the government shutdown, which Harry Reid caused because he would not accept the continuing resolution to fund the government unless it fully funded Obamacare. Well, what conservatives were saying was this is not ready and is going to be a disaster, and now look where we are. That's exactly where we are. We could have done something about it beforehand. Now we're faced with this mess, and it vindicates that the Tea Party caucus, the Liberty Movement, the conservatives in the Republican Party, which was the minority in the House that pushed Boehner to the right initially before the McConnell-Boehner surrender, that they were right. This thing should not have been brought on board, and we would have avoided all these problems that we're facing now. Wouldn't you agree, Chris?
Well, and it goes a little bit beyond that, and this is something that goes right after our favorite topic, and that is the rhinos, the progressives in the Republican Party. You know, these guys were upset, not because of what Cruz said or did. It's just that he stole their thunder. They wanted this thing to roll out and a bunch of people to get hurt. Then they would have the power they needed to fight it. And Cruz has always taken the position, and Amash and other people, that we need to stop it because it's going to hurt people. And that is a tactic, and I really think that from my perspective it rolls to some moral issues. I mean, this is some important stuff to think about when you're thinking about, you know, who you're voting for in 2014 and who you want to back, and do they have a primary challenger, you know, that has actually read the Constitution, that these guys are so weak. They were so weak that years ago, before the Supreme Court debacle, You know, they could have defunded Obamacare back then and kept the fight on. We could have had this fight, you know, 2.5 years ago. And what's sad is these Republican rhinos are so weak that they wanted the Supreme Court to win the battle for them, and then that didn't happen. And so their goal was to let it roll out and crash and make everybody's life miserable, and then they would have enough power to fight it. I just, for some reason, I don't know if that bothers you, but it bothers me because there's a lot of good people being hurt right now. And the thing is we knew, I mean, we've known forever that this thing was going to be a mess. I mean, anybody with a brain who understands basic economics and understands basic government, you know, doublespeak and looks at things like Medicaid, Social Security or whatever, or the post office or anything else, EPA or whatever, knows that government cannot manage large programs. In fact, constitutionally, they're not supposed to. So, yeah, I I think it's a great clip. Amash is a great guy, and I hope that people in state and out of state back him because the rhinos are going after him. I mean, he's one of the first guys who has ever posted, and they probably learned this from Ron Paul, but he posts every vote, why he voted that way, and what the bill really means versus what they're spending it as, and he's done that on everything, and that's just been, that's true transparency. I love it. Go ahead.
Exactly. Justin Amash provides to the people of Michigan in his district the transparency that Obama promised when he was campaigning in 2008, and this has been the most opaque, secretive, Gestapo, Stasi-style administration in American history.
Driven.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. But no, you bring up a very, very, very good point, and I know we got a lot of cover, but I just want to take a moment here to tell everybody listening, and you got to share this with everybody. Right now, there is a war in the GOP that's been waging forever, okay? It's just coming to a boil right now because they've just pushed it way too far. Pretty much, they didn't like what happened in 1980. They didn't like what happened in 84. They thought they recovered, in 89 with George H.W., eat my shorts, no new taxes, Bush. And then here comes this juggernaut, Gingrich, in 94 with actual conservative ideas. Until they ousted him, and then they want an Arobian, conservative, compassionate, whatever, blah, 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 spending spree like drunken sailors. They don't want conservatives. They don't want libertarians. They don't want constitutionalists in the Republican Party. They just want us to kowtow to the giant, you know, Leviathan-style statist corporatist government and just, you know, play ping-pong with Democrats and pretend that there's a change in administration or a change in direction when it's just rhetorical differences. So don't give any money to the RNC. Don't send any money to the House Fund, the Senate Fund. No Republican organization should get any money from you, and make sure that every rank-and-file Republican who might be so fearful of Hillary Clinton in 2016 or the Democrats taking over the House in 2014 that they got some money and they're sending it to the party. Don't send it to the party. Find the candidates. And you can give money to candidates who are not in your district or even in your state. Find the conservative candidates that are either running for re-election, like Justin Amash, and support them, or find the conservative who's giving a primary bid against the incumbent rhino, like you have with Mitch McConnell in Kentucky and Bob Corker, where is he from, Tennessee, I think. You've got to dislodge these rhinos by supporting the actual conservative and libertarian candidates. And remember something, there's a difference between conservatives and libertarians, but there is a massive overlap. If they're 80% in agreement with you on the Constitution, on the principles of conservatism, on liberty, on lower taxes, on a smaller government, on a more prudent but strong foreign policy, then back them. Back them. Don't look for the perfect candidate. You won't find one. But back the right ones against the rhinos. That is key. Because what's happening here is right now the Democrats are weak. Right now the Democrats are easy to beat. In fact, Obama was so easy to beat, he got 13% less votes in 2012. But Karl Rove found the one useless piece of meat that could lose to him, and that was Mitt Romney. Don't let them do that to you again. Chris, we got a lot to cover, but before we get off this Obamacare thing, I wanted to highlight the level of deceit that is going on that even people on the left can't stomach. I mean, they can only apologize for their people just as much as only, you know, conservatives can apologize for the Republican Party. Screw the Republican Party. I'm not apologizing for the Republican Party. The Republican Party sucks. It really does. Change it. Make it a good party. The way you do that is you fill it with good people. All right? But here's that Botox-infested, lying witch Nazi Pelosi being ripped apart by David Gregory, who is, you know, not exactly a, you know, not exactly a fair-minded, you know, prostitute, nor is he on the right. But just listen to the lies she spins and realize how weak they are. And the only way that these Democrat socialist losers can win in 2014 is for the rhinos to hand it to them. Here's Nancy Pelosi.
What he said was that the insurance companies must tell the policyholder what they are deprived of, that they're not getting a pre-existing condition.
But there are cancellation notices going out. There's a million of them in California.
Yeah, and it's not. And what they have to do now is to send another letter that says, this is what this is going to mean to you in terms of you won't get pre-existing condition discrimination, and here are the other options that are available to you in the marketplace.
But the president has been apologetic. He's been accountable for saying something that was not the case. You were Speaker of the House. You, in many ways, were seen as an architect and a key ally on this. And this is what you said back in June of 2009 on MSNBC. Watch.
What we are talking about is affordable, quality, accessible health care for all Americans. It's about choice. If you like what you have and you want to keep it, you have the choice to do that.
Are you accountable for saying something that turned out not to be correct?
Well, it's not that it's not correct. It's that if you want to keep it, and it's important for the insurance company to say to people, this is what your plan does. It doesn't prevent you from being discriminated against on the basis of pre-existing conditions. It doesn't lifetime limits, annual limits, and the
There's
rest
There's a bottom
of that.
Line to this, which I think people understand and the president has acknowledged, which is if there are not the government is deciding there have to be minimum standards that are minimum requirements in any health care plan.
Yeah.
So if you have something and you like it and it doesn't meet what the government says you have to have, you cannot keep it.
If you
and that's
had,
not what you said
If
here.
You had your plan before the enactment of the law in 2010, if you had your plan before, there is nothing in the law that says you have to. But, you know, again, we can go back and forth on this.
Right, but this is an important deal because the grandfathering has changed. And the bottom line is the president has acknowledged, it doesn't seem like you're acknowledging, that saying to people back in 2009, hey, this is going to be easy. If you like what you have, you can keep it.
And
this is
could,
all about
and
choice.
You could, if you had your plan until the enactment of the law in 2000. Any grandfathering is for those before 2000. But let me say this, and I commend the president. He's gracious, and he's taking responsibility. But that doesn't mean that there was anything in the law that said if you like what you had before 2010, you couldn't keep it. I think it's really important to make that point. He took responsibility for the big picture, and that's important for him to do because that's what people see. But there is nothing. But you said earlier, if the law says that you must be canceled, the law doesn't say that. But again, neither here nor there. How do we go forward?
But the bottom line is, people are getting policies that are canceled, and that was not the representation that was made.
And it
was also foreseeable. It was part of the debate that this actually happened.
Well, now I would agree with you for the policy since 2010, but not for the 2000 before. But the president has also said that the insurance companies, and many of them have been very responsible and some not so, the insurance company has to say to you, you're not getting the exemption, pre-existing conditions, you will have lifetime limits, you will have annual limits, and by the way, you have to tell people that they can go to the exchange, the marketplace, where they may qualify for a subsidy or they may just get a better price.
The big picture on this is that it doesn't seem to be working right now. And you argued at the time, you said, look, there's a lot of controversy around this. It's politically hot and that people don't understand the good things. Right. And that people don't understand the good things that are in it. But then you said this in March of 2010. Watch.
This is
but we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it, away from the fog of the controversy.
And how does that idea that you have to pass it before you know what's in it, isn't that really the problem as you look back on it, that there was such a rush to get this done No Republicans voting for it. And now there are unintended effects of this that were foreseen at the time that you couldn't know the impact of it, and now this is coming home to roost.
No, what I was saying there is we have a House and a Senate, we get a bill, we go to conference, or we ping-pong it, and then you see what the final product is. However, I stand by what I said there. Yeah, when people see what is in the bill, they will like it, and they will. And so,
Chris, I just go.
Well, that wasn't a real human being. That has to be an android or a Botoxroid or something. I'm not sure, but I can't. You can count the truths. You can't count the lies on that one. Oh my God. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say about these people. They're insane. They've had too much power for too long. They've had Republicans protecting them for several decades, acting like they're Republicans, but always rolling over and squishing and surrendering. And, ever since, if you go back to George or H.W., and, you come forward, everything from no new taxes to George Bush running on a Ron Paul non-interventionist campaign. It's just amazing how they treated Ron Paul. And all you got to do is go to the dang internet and get on YouTube and listen to George Bush running his campaign. He was extremely non-interventionist. He was saying that America should not be the police force of the world. We're spending too much money. All this stuff. Maybe it's just, I've been around long enough to remember when it was different and remember what my country was like. And I think there's just so many people who their whole world has been G.W. Bush and Barack Hussein Obama. And that's pretty scary, because if that's what your perception is of the world, politics, economics, and war, you're totally screwed up, because that ain't America. What we've suffered the last 12 years is not America. Sorry, I got off track.
No, I think you got it. But, look, the simple thing is that the only way that they can sell this thing is to lie. The fact is that, listen to the terminology they're using. They're using customer, they're using product, they're using private companies. What this shows you, if you're a liberal, is that these people aren't really socialists. They're not looking to, have everybody equally share ownership of the public goods and, free health care and free food and free all this crap, which is just a cockamamie idea that doesn't work. It's just bad anthropology. It's never worked in human history. It will never work. It just doesn't work. But even that's, even if you believe the lie of, quote, socialism, this isn't it. They're giving you corporatism. They're turning you into a corporate cog. You're a consumer, and you're a cog in their corporate machine, which is the same thing that the rhinos are doing. And if you're a conservative, if you're a libertarian, if you're a constitutionalist, you believe in the invisible hand of the free market, because it has delivered the most benefit to the most people in human history. And the only thing that screws it up is government bureaucrats who are working on behalf of the corporate interests who own them and the politicians. That's what this is about. This is about destroying jobs, destroying the economy. The only thing that's going to be left are government jobs and jobs in the preferred corporations that are basically the ones actually running your government. This is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and instead it has become a government of bankers for corporations to screw the people. That's what it's becoming. That's what these people are doing. And they're playing kabuki theater to make you think that there's some kind of opposition when there isn't. Well, that's not entirely true. The two parties are not in opposition, because most of those running the parties, especially in the RNC, which is, as Pat Caddell called it, a CLEC. That's who's running the RNC. Mm-hmm. The CLEC is the consultant, lobbyist, establishment complex. And for all of you who are Republican Party members, get involved and change your RNC committee people. Right now, two-thirds of them are consultants and lobbyists, and that's why little Prince Pubis was reelected as chair, because he's their pawn. And that's why people like Karl Rove are out there funding conservative kill packs to go out and assassinate, politically assassinate real conservatives and real libertarians so they can put in yes-men who will do their bidding. But the fact is that there is a caucus. There is a faction within the GOP. And this is important because more and more people are identifying as independents, and the country is moving more and more towards a conservative libertarian orientation. But you got to take over the GOP because that's what there is at the national level. And if you want to undo this giant government, you need people who are willing to go in there and fight. There is a faction in the GOP that is actually fighting this thing, and they're fighting it with truth. They're fighting it with the rule of law. They're fighting it with the Constitution. They're fighting it with real conservative principles. And actually, we're going to do a special show for you this week, probably on Tuesday. So go to the Liberty Thunder show page on Facebook, like the page. I'll put the announcement there. We're going to do a show talking specifically about what conservative principles are, so that when you're measuring your candidates, you will know by what to measure them to make sure that they're a real conservative, a real libertarian, as opposed to a rhino. Okay? But there is a faction, and they can win if you would let them be heard and if you will support them. Here's one of them right now talking about what Chris mentioned earlier, which is this, that Medicare is in debt $35 trillion. This is Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky.
If you like your plan, you can keep your plan, period. Here with reaction to this and much more, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul. Period is kind of like no qualifiers, no caveats. You know, period is period, right?
Well, and he's exactly wrong. He says it's the insurance companies. No, it's the legislation. The legislation says very specifically, if you had your insurance before Obamacare, and if it's never changed, you can keep it. But if you've had it and now it's changed at all, you have to take Obamacare. You get four choices, whereas you might have had hundreds of choices before. Under Obamacare, you only get four choices, and you're being dumped. In my state, nearly 10 times more people have lost their insurance than have gained any insurance, and that Kentucky's supposed to be the success case they're all touting, and 10 times more people have actually lost their insurance in Kentucky.
Yeah, listen, the Daily Caller actually found quotes from all these red state Democrats, from Mary Landrieu to Mark Begich, Gene Shaheen, Mark Pryor, Kay Hagan, all of them saying the exact same thing. If you like your plan, you can keep your plan. You think that plays a part in the 2014s?
Absolutely. And here's the great irony. You remember the government shutdown we went through about a month ago? The Democrats refused to open up government because we wanted to delay the individual mandate 1 year because we all said it wouldn't work. And they refused to do it, and they wouldn't open the government back up. Now half a dozen or more of them have changed their mind and say, we probably should delay the individual mandate. And the president's already delayed it 6 weeks. My prediction is they're going to need to delay it more because I don't think they're going to be able to fix this in 6 months.
You know, two reports came out this weekend, one from CBS News, the other from the Wall Street Journal. The White House, one White House insider warned 3 years ago that all of this would happen. Nobody seemed to care. They had all of the numbers 3 years ago about what would happen. And also, White House aides 3 years ago were debating whether or not the president's lying. They knew. This I think that bothers me more than anything, is that the president and his team knew that all these Americans, millions of Americans, would lose their coverage. What does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I think it comes down to this. I think government is inherently inefficient. The other side thinks government can do anything. They have this great faith that government can fix any problem. And the way I see it is the private marketplace is miraculous in distributing goods because they have to have a profit motive. Government doesn't have a profit motive, so government's not very good at most things. And so you don't want to give government new responsibilities. Another good way to look at this in simple terms is Medicare was already $35 trillion short. Why would we want to add new mandates and new entitlement programs when we can't even fund the one we have?
You know, last week the number that we had was 93 million Americans will lose the current insurance that they have. Daily Caller cited a story that shows that the estimate is about 129 million Americans are going to lose their insurance. That is a far cry from what the president promised. What
you know
if
what that,
what?
I was going to say, you know what that number probably equals? Everybody with individual insurance or small business insurance. Because if your plan ever changes, it's no longer eligible. And they usually change the plan just a little bit each year. Any kind of change to a plan makes it ineligible, and you have to get Obamacare. So really, when he said you could keep your doctor, it's the opposite. No one's going to keep their doctor. No one with an individual plan will still have it within a few years. And then the question is, when we get the employer mandate, how many of those are going to have to change? If your employer insurance changes from year to year, doesn't meet those four plans that Obama thinks you should have, I think this is going to be a disaster. We're talking about 20% of the marketplace. What happens when the 80% that has the employer mandate, what happens when that kicks in and all of those people lose their insurance because it doesn't meet the four plans? Yeah. This thing is going to overwhelm the country.
This thing is going to overwhelm the country. Go ahead.
It's already overwhelmed the country. We've had 5 years of no growth, you know, or whatever it's been since Obamacare, four years. You know, this is really a point in time where people have to sit down and say, what am I willing to fight for? Because it's beyond. You know, you and I and multiple people have known what's coming for a long time. Maybe not all the little details that have come out. You know, this whole thing about people losing their insurance and stuff like that, a lot of that was covered up. There's just a lot of details that it was so overwhelming. It's such a huge, new law with all these, you know, ever-changing rules and the president, you know, changing the law from the pulpit, you know, from the bully pulpit anytime, you know, what now the unions are exempt and the government was exempt and this group is exempt and this group. Remember back in the primary, all the people that had all those exemptions, you know, we don't even hear about that anymore. You know, this company and this group and that group. And I mean, I knew a long time ago that corporations were going to dump people off the insurance. Why pay? You know, we have the corporate tax is too high. Regulations are uncontrollable. Very expensive part of your business. You might as well just call it a tax. You know, it's a unwanted added expense trying to meet all the regulatory, the taxes, all the issues, you know, the EPA and the, you know, all this crap that you have to deal with, the increased cost of the NSA, you know, the revelations we have around the NSA. If you own a company and you deal with security, you know, now you're thinking about other things you got to spend money on. I mean, this one guy and his ilk, you know, have just about destroyed this country in the last 5 years. And what's scary is we needed recovery. That's all we needed, Rex. I mean, we live in the greatest country in the history of the world. We live in an incredible machine. You know, people starting businesses, creative ideas. So much could have been different today. And it's been a long, dark, cloudy, wet fall day for a long time under this administration. And Obamacare, people just don't get it. It's not about the 20, 10, 30, 40 million people they claim are uninsured. It was never about that group of people. We could have set up we have programs called Medicaid, Medicare. You know, we had programs for these people. This is about destroying the system and turning it upside down, and you never, ever, ever, you as an individual, be able to climb yourself out of where you're at in life. I mean, it is such a cap on the productivity and creativity in the free market in this country. I mean, people are suffering now. You know, they talk about people losing insurance. He gets up there and makes his little apology, kind of apology, and there's people right now losing insurance who are currently on, you know, life or death care, and all of a sudden they don't have insurance. And Obamacare doesn't guarantee that they're going to even get covered. And it doesn't even guarantee they're going to keep that doctor who they've spent all that time and energy, you know, working with, you know, for their life-saving treatment. All said, they may not even have that doctor anymore, and they get to start completely over. You know, people can die through this process, and it's already happening, and nobody's talking about it. Just cursory. You know what I mean? It's we're so
anecdotes.
Focused on the wrong thing.
Dave Carney called them anecdotes. Yeah. This is an anecdote. Yeah. Well, you know, now you got 5 million anecdotes on its way to 10 million, and by next year it'll be over 130 million. That's not an anecdote. That's a friggin' revolution. But see, the thing is that we don't want to wait. And you brought up that point earlier. People like Ted Cruz and Justin Amash and Rand Paul did not want to wait until the thing fell apart to say, see, I told you so. They wanted to spare the people the problem. They identified the problem. They told you what was going to happen. They fought to stop it from happening, and they could have stopped it from happening if not for the Surrender Caucus of Rhinos like Jihad Jade Muhammad, Lindsay, Lightness Loafers, Gramnesty, Bob Loss's Corker, Johnny Crying Tan Boehner, and little Eric Cantnod. It's guys like that that turned on the real conservatives who are trying to spare us this disaster, and now it's here. Now, these guys aren't gloating. They're not saying, I told you so.
No, it's
but
terrible.
They did. They did tell you so, and now the Republicans are starting to, we want full repeal now. Well, you had your shot, and we got another shutdown coming up. Of course, this time, Obamacare is apparently, already in process. Well, in theory it's in process. You can't get on this website to buy the plan that you're forced to buy in order to be covered. And that's what this is designed to do. It is designed to crush the free market in medicine, the free market in insurance. And people, we can't have the Wild West out there. This is important stuff. Insurance is an important thing. Healthcare is important. We can't have it just like, crazy free market. Well, what is a free market? An ordered free market is individual people making their own choices as to what's best for them and individual people who run companies offering what they think the consumer wants. That's how it works.
And adjusting as needed. That is the worst thing. That's the thing that the federal government or your state government can never do. When you pass a law and you say, this is the way I deal with this in building, they add some new code to a building, and then they find out that that product or that design is failed, and it takes forever. You're still, you as a contractor know this is a bad design, but the damn law is hanging over your shoulder. You know what I mean? You got to get it checked. You got to get it signed off by the inspector, and here you are making a bad product you know is bad, but the law can't change because it takes time, effort, because it's government. And in business, you can go right down the track. All of a sudden, you realize, I don't like this product. I don't like this sheeting, this new OSB crap. I mean, that was a massive failure back in the 80s when that first came out, trying to save money in lumber, and they came out with the first phases of OSB. It cost this country hundreds of billions of dollars of water damage and failed
product. Somebody made money.
Yeah, and what's scary is, very quickly you as a contractor can figure out this is a bad product and stop using it. But you get these guys at corporations and government in bed together, and you have to use the damn product until it finally, 5, 6, 7 years in lawsuits and court cases and businesses – they're like, hey, this ain't working, or this technique is not working, or this tool doesn't work, or this product's not working, or how I'm, whatever. You know what I mean? What I'm doing is not working, and I've got to pay my damn bills, so I'm going to figure out a better way to do it or find a better product, and I'm going to, so I can guarantee my product to my customer because my butt is on the line for surviving as a businessman. And that is the free market, Rex. And that's what people don't understand. People in the free market are not out to screw people. That is some kind of psychological bullshit. Oh, excuse me. First cuss word. BS, fear tactic to make you hate the free market. The free market is your best friend. Because what else happens in a free market is you can go to somebody and go, you know what? Their product has got crappy this last year. You can go buy it somewhere else. If the government's involved, like Obamacare, You can't go buy it somewhere else if it's a bad product. That's the
right.
problem with socialism, corporatism, fascism, communism, is nothing
yep.
moves at the speed that human beings can make decisions, decide what's right for them. You know, people aren't stupid. Now, the masses, you know, individuals aren't stupid. People are, you know, in masses. And you know, like Rome and the Colosseum. Yeah,
yeah,
group thing. But, you know, this is what we're dealing with. And I have never, I mean, I've watched socialism take over this country, but I've never seen anything as absolutely insane, rapid takeover and destruction at the same time. And that's what's scary, because you said it before, by design or by accident or a little of both?
A little of both.
But
the here's
result
the thing.
Is not going to be good.
No, it's already not good, and you're absolutely right. But yeah, you pointed out, you know,
much worse.
That the you know in the free market businesses respond to the demands of consumers and can adjust quickly. Well, and that you know businesses are not screw people. Well, some are, and that's a
yeah.
true fact. But the thing is, if you give
you
all the power
else.
To government, yeah. But if you give all the power to government, then those people that are trying to screw you tend to be the ones who get the government favors, and then you're getting screwed with no recourse. I mean, you know, when people tell me that they don't trust corporations, they don't trust business people, but they trust somebody with monopoly power in government to be a more virtuous person, that's just insanity. That's not the way it works. But we're
yeah,
not talking about a free-for-all.
Some government union worker and a politician. You trust that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who
pickled but
your
but the
brain.
Thing is that it's not a free for all. It is the insurance market is a regulated market. There are 50 insurance commissioners, and they are regulating the insurance market in 50 states. Now some regulate more, some regulate less, some regulate this way, some regulate that way. But you've got 50 laboratories of what is the optimal way to regulate this market so that you can get the most insurance and healthcare access to people. Now you've only got one. You got one market. It's the Obama market, and it's not even open for business because they can't build the website, which is another thing we'll get to in just a second. But that's what's key about it. There is some level of regulation that is required to enforce contracts and make sure people aren't getting canceled when their health, you know, their health fails and there isn't any kind of fraud and shenanigans. So you have to have some regulation, but you need competitive regulation, which is why you have 50 different sovereign states regulate this market, as opposed to some bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. who don't know their head from their ass and have never, you know, been involved in any kind of business function. That's the solution. And there are things that can be done to provide more access. This is not one of them, because even the whole meme about the uninsured, the 15% of the population that's uninsured, or even those with pre-existing conditions who can't qualify for anything other than maybe a group insurance, in the individual market they get they say discriminated against. Well, yeah, that's how insurance works. I mean, insurance companies don't run out looking for bad drivers to sell them car insurance. They rate them and they charge them more. If you're a good driver, you have access to more policies. That's just common sense. That's how businesses work. And the other thing, everybody's trying to screw the insurance company. Do you really want to be insured by an insurance company that mismanages its funds? I mean, don't you want them to be profitable so that when you have mounting medical bills, they can actually cover them for you? This is what this is taking away from you. And the fact is that these people in government have no idea how business works, so they get bullied over by the businessmen like Romney. And we're not talking about free market people who invent the personal computer in their garage like Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs. We're talking about people like Mitt Romney. And remember something. This thing, which you can hang around Obama's neck and Pelosi's neck and Reid's neck, is also a Republican problem. Because this thing was Romney Care before it was Obamacare. And the rhinos are the ones that have been enabling this thing to go along. There have been numerous opportunities to actually stop it, but the rhinos have never taken it up. Oh, I voted 42 times against Obamacare. Well, those 42 votes were meaningless, but there was one vote that mattered. And the Senate caved. Instead of voting no to cloture on debate, most of them ran over to the other side and handed Harry Reid all the power he needed. That's what happened. Chris and I did four shows on this before the shutdown. That's what you have to understand. But they're so incompetent, Chris. They're so unaware of what's really going on. They can't even get the website to work. Remember, oh, it's going to be great. You're going to be able to buy more policies, and they're going to be cheaper, and they're going to be subsidized. It's going to be like kayak.com, blah, blah, blah. Well, the website doesn't even work, which is the only way you can actually access it. Oh, no, Rex, you can call in. Right. You can call in and speak to somebody in one of 189 different languages, and they're going to write down your information on a piece of paper, and then they're going to plug it into the website. Well, they can't get into the website. We've spent $680 million on this thing, and it doesn't work. Now, some people are actually trying to do something about it, the real conservatives, like Congressman Trey Gowdy. Listen to this guy talk to the head IT guy on the Obamacare Exchange websites.
We now go to the gentleman from South Carolina, Mr. Gowdy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Park, do you agree that there is a difference between an innocent misstatement of a perceived fact and a deliberate attempt to deceive?
Yes.
So do I. When did you first realize that you couldn't keep your health insurance, even if you did like it, period?
So, again, that's kind of a health policy matter. It's really outside my lane. So
you don't know when you first realized that you couldn't keep your health insurance, even if you liked it, period?
I don't recall, no.
Would you agree with me that credibility or the lack thereof in one area of life can impact credibility or the lack thereof in another area of life?
I suppose it could.
In your written testimony, you wrote, as you know, October 1st was the launch date of the new website, healthcare.gov, and I did know that. I just didn't know why. And I'm going to read to you a quote from Secretary Sebelius. She said, and I'll paraphrase it initially, that she was hurried into producing a website by October the 1st because the law required it. Now I'll read you the direct quote. In an ideal world, there would have been a lot more testing. We did not have the luxury of that with a law that said it's go time on October the 1st. Mr. Park, I don't know what ideal world she's referring to, so I'm just going to stick with the one we're in. What law was she referencing? What law required this website to launch on October the 1st?
I can't really speak for Secretary Sebelius.
I'm not asking you to speak for her. I'm asking you, what law was she referring to? Is there a law that required this website to launch on October the 1st?
Again, that's a health policy and legal matter. That's not really my...
It's actually a legal question. Do you know if there's a law that requires this website to launch on October the 1st, or do you know whether it was just an arbitrary date that the administration settled on?
I actually do not.
Would you find that to be important, whether or not we really had to go October the 1st, given the fact that we weren't ready to go on October the 1st? Would you find that relevant, whether or not we actually had to launch a substandard product?
Sir, I respectfully, I'm just a technology guy trying to...
Don't short yourself. You're the smartest one in the room.
Well, that's not true, sir.
Trust me, I've been in this room for a while. It is true. There is no law that requires that. So what Secretary Sebelius said was patently false. There is no law that required a go time on October the 1st, but I want to move to another component of her quote. Some of us don't consider testing to be a luxury, but let's assume arguendo that she's right, that additional testing would have been a luxury that would have been nice to have. How much more testing would you have done prior to launching?
So I'm not deeply familiar with the development testing regimen that happened prior to October 1, so I can't really opine about that.
Well, let me ask you this. Because you are the smartest one in the room.
I'm not, sir.
And very good at what you do. Where in the heck were you for the first 184 weeks? If you're being asked to fix this after October the 1st, in a couple of weeks, where were you for the first 184 after the so-called Affordable Care Act passed? Where did they have you hidden?
So, sir, in my role at the White House as USCTO in the Office of Science and Technology Policy, I'm a technology and innovation policy advisor, so I have a broad portfolio of responsibilities.
But you're obviously good enough that they brought you in to fix what was broken. It's been called a train wreck. That's not fair to train wrecks. It's been called other things. They brought you in to fix it. Why didn't they bring you in to start it? Why didn't they bring you in to build it? Why are you doing a reclamation project? Why didn't you build it?
I'm part of an all-hands-on-deck effort to mobilize across the administration to actually help under Jeff Zients' leadership. In the lead-up to October 1, that wasn't part of my role. I was.
When will it be operational to your satisfaction?
Well, we have a goal that the team is pursuing with tremendous intensity.
How many more weeks? Because I'm going to get asked when I go home. I know you can appreciate that. I'm going to get asked, when will it be operational? When will it be as good as it can get? Because you'll concede the first 184 weeks did not go swimmingly. Is it going to be another 184 weeks?
Sir, I think the honest answer is that there's a team of incredibly dedicated public servants.
I get all that. I'm looking for a number. I'm looking for a number. We can interpret the poem later. I'm looking for a number.
That's working hard to have the site functioning by the end of this month smoothly for the vast majority of Americans. That's the goal.
The gentleman.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed.
It's a technological terror that they have constructed. This shows you, this shows you two things, Chris. The first thing it shows you is that an intelligent, principled, conservative congressman can dig and he can actually entertain you while he's at it. he's not only pithy and funny, but he got to the point. That's Congress's job. It also shows you the way that Park was answering, that the people who gravitate towards providing government services as if it's like some kind of customer care kind of thing tend to not be the highest and the best, because if they were the highest and the best, they would be out in a for-profit arena, you know, trying to scrounge up a buck by making, their place in the market. Instead, you have these people that are guaranteed a no-bid contract with overspending who don't actually have to perform and have no profit incentive in order to get anything done right. It shows you that government gets involved in these things. It does them poorly, it does them for more money, and it doesn't do them well, and in fact crowds out the private market and actually destroys the very thing that they were purporting to do, which is precisely why we vest the war power in government, because war is about destroying things. But healthcare is not supposed to be. Is that brilliant or
what? Well, here's the point. Here's the point that I think, you know, one of those common sense things that, you know, those aha moments is, if I was the smartest guy in the room, we're in trouble, because he didn't answer a damn question. And for those of us who have taken the time painfully and watched the hearings and you know, whether it was Benghazi or the IRS or, you know, I have forced myself to watch these things because I can't stand them. I can't stand these bureaucrats. You know, all of the Obama administration people sound the same. I don't know. I don't have that information. It wasn't my preview. I mean, they all sound the same. Not one of them can answer a question. Not one of them can deliver information. It is painstakingly slow. It costs us tax dollars. A court of law, you know, you'd be in contempt. You know, you would lose your case. You would be sued. You'd go to jail. You know, out here in the real world where the rest of us have to live. But when you get up there in the ninth circle of hell where you live, I can't believe these people. Like I said, I can barely stand to listen to them. And yet I've forced myself to, because I need to know if we're going to win or lose this country. We're at a crossroads, folks, big time.
Yeah, the amazing thing is what they've done is not only overspend on this website that doesn't work.
Oh.
Okay, and put people in a position where you're
and
likely
it wasn't
to run
even a competitive bid.
Right. Well, that's the point. But put people in the position where they are booted off their insurance. They can't get into these exchanges to buy the quote, you know, four super duper plans that Obama designed and Nancy Pelosi designed.
Twice as much.
Right. And then you're going to get hit with that tax if you don't do it. So this is how government screws things up so badly. It turns you into a criminal. Then it confiscates your property for not complying with the crap that they devised in the first place. Government creates problems in order to present new solutions to the problems that they created. Now, that doesn't mean get rid of the government. There are certain things it is supposed to do. Read Article 1, Section 8. It tells you the powers of the federal government. That is all it is supposed to do. And Article 9 tells you what it cannot do. Okay? There is nothing in there about becoming the number one marketplace for medical insurance plans. There is nothing in there about that. So this is what you get. This is what you get when you let rhinos speak to you like they're pro-business. They're not pro-business. They're pro-corporatism. All right? They're not pro-free market businesses. They're not looking out for Main Street. They only work for Wall Street. Okay? So Republicans are not pro-business. Democrats are not pro-anything other than socialism, communism. Okay? So that's not a good option. So you go
tax more.
Print, tax, and control. So what do you do? You get frustrated and run to an alternate party, which we did. That's why Rove's Monster in 2012 lost. You know, they say they stayed home. We didn't stay home. We voted for somebody else. But then we had a real conservative, not a Mitt Romney. We had a real conservative. And some people went and voted for the fake libertarian candidate, which basically handed this state, this Commonwealth, to the Democrats, to a criminal Clinton Obama operative. You can't do
who
that.
Was selling the White House, who was selling the Lincoln Room at the White House.
Exactly. Okay, so you got to learn to discern who the good players are and who the bad players. Don't just start pissing and moaning and destroying the Republicans. All right? It's just an organization, and you need the national organization. You need the funding. You need the recognition. Because a lot of voters are just going to go vote for the R anyway. Okay? So take over the party. Find the candidates and support them. Find your Justin Amash. Find your Trey Gowdy. Give them money. Work for them. Door knock. Make calls. That's what you have to do. Now, you're saying, well, Rex, I already do that. Okay, that's great. That's wonderful. I'm very proud of you. But I hate to do this to you. You're working hard. Work harder. And what that means is instead of just doing more work yourself, okay, and I'm not talking about posting Obama did this and bitching about Obama did that. Who cares? Obama's an incompetent fool, and he's a meat puppet that's going to be thrown away by his party and his corporate banker masters because he's becoming a debacle, you know, total failure. But that doesn't mean that the machine isn't going to roll on, okay? So don't worry about Obama. You got to focus on the Republicans. You got to focus on taking over from a conservative, constitutional, libertarian perspective now and quit focusing on 2016. It doesn't matter if Rand Paul or Ted Cruz or whoever or Chris Christie or whatever is running for president. We got the 2014 midterms coming up, and that battle starts now. You have to multiply yourself. You have to get 10 other people to work as hard as you're working, door knocking, making calls, raising funds for the real conservatives, the real libertarians, the real constitutionalists in the Republican Party. Or we are going to be down this road so bad, this road to serfdom so bad, that we might not be able to recover. But there's still time, and right now they're on their heels. Go ahead.
Here's a good example. They had the House and Senate and the presidency from aught 8 to aught 10 until we swept with the Tea Party movement. In those 2 years, right, when we could have been recovery mode and living a whole different life right now in this country, because this country can recover very fast. I mean, we mobilized and fought a war on three fronts with millions and millions and millions of people, hundreds of millions of people involved, but millions of people on the war front, you know, actually out there in the theater. And we did that in one against three major fronts in 3.5 years. Built our war machine, built our industry up, and launched and strategized and won one of the biggest wars ever in the history of man in 3.5 years. So this country can do great things as long as it is unleashed. You know what I mean by and you understand the concept. So what we've dealt with for the last 5 years is what happened in the first 2 years with a full House and Senate. And I agree with what you say. I could give a crap about the Republican Party. I'm such an I went to Alaska at 19 years old. I'm not into parties. I'm not into clubs. I'm not into, you know, being much of a part of anything. I'm extremely.
I've seen your club.
Yeah, I'm an extremely independent, free-spirited person, and probably more libertarian, you know, conservative libertarian leaning. But here's the thing. I don't want to lose and give this guy a House and Senate again for 2 years where he has total control, because look what he did with the first 2 years. We're still paying the price for it, and we're going to pay the price for it for a long time because they've screwed us up so bad with lending, borrowing, printing, and all these bad decisions, increase the size of the federal government, the EPA, the NSA, the IRS, the AP scandal, all these things that have gone on. We're going to pay the price for this stuff for a long time. You know, you could have a full Republican House and Senate and a good conservative in there in office, and he's still only going to get so much correction done in a given period of time. And you always have the midterms and opposition, and, you know, you got to look at history. But this is serious stuff. So, like you said, I agree with, I don't care about the party, but I care about winning. And so yeah. I look across the board. I think Cuccinelli, no way he should have lost that. It was sad. And here's the other problem with midterms. Midterms are historically 30-35% turnout, which is insanity, because when you look at what Obama and his House and Senate did, you know, in their, you know, winning the House and supermajority in the Senate and the presidency, the damage they did in those 2 years, and the fact they held the Senate even though they lost seats and then they lost the House, it still, you know, has just been a cluster, you know what? All, you know,
because they lost
years.
The House to Johnny Boehner. That's why.
Well,
they didn't lose the House to conservatives. That's why. And, you know, look, the thing is that never accept what they tell you their intention is with any of these bills. Never accept what the rhinos tell you, because they'll speak against whatever the Democrats tell you, and, in fact, they're building the same thing. And now you've got this debacle of a website that has something like 735 different clone sites where people are getting people's
losing ID theft.
You know,
Yeah,
identity theft information and you know, racking up all sorts of nightmarish messes with identity theft. But who's the biggest identity thief? Is it these you know, opportunistic criminals that are cloning this website, which should be far more secure? McAfee talks about it frequently. Or is the real criminal the government itself getting all this data from you? They got the IRS database linked in with this. Your medical records. So now they know what your medical status is. They know what your financial status is. And inside the Federal Reserve, a private bank, they have the Office of Consumer Financial Protection, which is tracking every single one of your purchases. Chase Bank just basically put a limit on foreign transactions for business accounts. You can't send more than $50,000 out of the country. Okay? This is about total control over your mobility, your life, your health, your wealth,
your decisions,
everything.
Your decisions.
This is what this is about. Yeah, you cannot allow this to happen. And bitching about it isn't going to change it. Complaining and posting
about Obama
information about Obamacare, or that he's a Muslim or he's a Kenyan, or who cares at this point? To quote Hillary Clinton, at this point, what difference does it make? He's a communist through and through. He has completely screwed you already. But he is, and the Democrats are actually totally powerless unless the rhinos give them cover in this game of kabuki theater. So the rhinos, the Republicans in name only, those not conservative, not libertarian, not constitutionalists, who don't even adhere to their own platform, are the rhinos. But they are now mounting a battle plan against you. And remember something.
Yep.
These entrenched consultants, lobbyists, money interests, corporatists, and sitting politicians are far more wealthy and organized than you are. So you need to get busier, and you need a force multiplier.
But they fear you. Remember that.
Because we outnumber them. We outnumber them. Yep. You're absolutely right. They fear you, like Chris said, because we outnumber them. But only if we work together and work harder to get real conservatives and libertarians to take over this decrepit shell of a party that's about to go the way of the Whigs and put a stop to this expanding government. But so many people who might genuinely be conservative in their hearts, trying to raise their families, run their businesses, work their jobs, find a job, whatever it is that they're doing, turn on the Fox News to get information from the no-spin zone, right?
Well,
and Bill O'Reilly trots out all the neocons. Look at Brett Baer. He has Neocon Hour to give you the news from a neocon perspective, and they get confused because these people use conservative language. They use constitutional language to further a statist agenda. You have to wake them up. Share this show with them. Share relevant information with them. Teach them how to discern a real conservative and a constitutionalist from a fake-ass rhino, because the rhinos are worse than the Democrats. Oh, well, you know, if we support the primary person who's a Tea Party person and they lose, then the Democrat will win. Well, if the rhino wins, you still have a Democrat. It just happens to be a Democrat in your camp. Who cares? That's not a victory. Now listen to this crap. These people are now attacking Tea Party, Liberty Movement, conservatives as disruptive, just like what the Democrats did during the shutdown. Remember, they called the Tea Party caucus, the real conservatives, legislative arsonists, bomb throwers, hostage takers. Yeah. Now the rhinos are using those same friggin' words against you. Are you really going to give them your vote? Are you going to give them your money? Are you going to let your friends, your family, and your businesses give these assholes money and support when they treat you this way? Listen to the No Spin Zone with Bill O'Reilly and Bernie Goldberg, and look what they called you.
That sets up, then, the classic moderate Republican versus hard-right Republican, okay?
Absolutely.
Isn't this numbers game here now? That's what it boils down to. Who has more people, the hard right or the moderates?
Yeah, that's a very good point. Here's the problem. Too many people on the hard right, Tea Party people and others, because of their ideological rigidity, they say that if Christie is the latest incarnation of John McCain or Mitt Romney, then they're going to sit home and not vote for him because they've done that in the past. And if they do that, they will wind up, again, because of this need for ideological purity, they will wind up helping elect another liberal Democrat, her name is Hillary Clinton, as president in 2016. Let me say one quick word about these rhinos that you referred to. Rhinos is an insult. It means, as far as the Tea Party and others are concerned, it's anybody to the left of Ted Cruz is a rhino, a Republican in name only, which, as I say, is an insult. But you know what? The real rhinos are the people in the Tea Party and on the hard right, because they have made it clear over and over again that their allegiance is not to the Republican Party, but to their particular brand of conservatism. So they're the rhinos. And because Chris Christie, as of tonight anyway.
It's like thinking you're a big winner because you only snort cocaine, but at least you're not like those freebasing losers.
You believe that? He's calling you a rhino because you're really
like
a conservative.
I like the zonation merge there.
Yeah, you like that. He's calling you a rhino because you're conservative. And he's saying that, you know, well, look what they did last time. If you're to the left of Ted Cruz, they're not going to vote for you, and that's basically electing Hillary Clinton. And then later on he goes on to say that, but if you get a Ted Cruz or a Rand Paul, I got that clip, we'll play it in a second, who become the nominee, then the real Republicans won't go out to vote. Well, isn't that the same thing then? Aren't they electing Hillary Clinton? See, that's the game they play with you. It's a terminology game. It's a rhetorical game. It's supposed to make you feel guilty. It's supposed to make you feel like you screwed up, like you reelected Barack Obama.
That's
a bunch of bullshit. I didn't vote for Barack Obama. I didn't elect Barack Obama, but I didn't vote for Mitt fucking Romney. There goes the F-bomb. Sorry, but that Romney just does that to me. Look, the simple thing is, okay, the rhinos are the ones who are in the Republican Party, okay, and preach all this party loyalty bovine scatology, but don't have any principles. They're not conservatives. They're not anything. They will do whatever it takes to gain power and gain money at your expense. He's talking in there, these conservative Tea Party people have no allegiance to the party. You're damn right, Bernie Goldberg, we don't have allegiance to the party. We don't give a shit about the party. We care about conservatism. We care about our country. We care about our Constitution. And we will use your useless elephant Whig party to get there. But don't for a second let these assholes redefine the terms of the conversation and turn us into the bad guys. They're the bad guys. The neocons are the bad guys. The Bernie Goldbergs of the world, the Bill O'Reillys of the world, the Karl Roves, the Mitt Romneys, these are the real sons of bitches that are screwing up the country. It's not even the Democrats, because these people have the power to stop them, but they won't use it. They're the real enemy.
Well, you got to look at something, and I think this is where terminal, and this is why this next show we're going to do is going to help, because it was like I did in the last show when I said, do you care about a smaller government? Do you care about government accountability? Do you care about waste and fraud? Do you care about not wanting endless wars all over the world to feed the war machine? Do you care, you know, do you care about these things? Then if you do, I mean, do you care about not paying more taxes? Do you care about not raising the debt limit again? Do you care about fiscal responsibility? If you answer yes to any of those, you are conservative, constitutionally minded, state sovereignty minded, Tea Party. That's really what it's about. Somewhere along the line, somebody has grabbed these things. When he said far right, that is an insult to me, because I'm not far right. I was raised in a country where the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, which guarantees me these natural rights given to me by my God, you know, the speech and the Second Amendment and all those things, free speech, the right, you know, the right to exercise my religion, blah, blah, blah. All that stuff our founding fathers put together to give maximum freedom to the individual so that I can live my life, make choices, raise my family, become successful, fail, get back up, do it again, and not be constrained by other people, where I live, the color of my skin, whatever the case may be. This is what the Constitution is about. This is what the Bill of Rights is about. So when you talk about when these squishes, these basically they're Democrats is what they are, when they get up there and they start slinging that far right stuff, I'm like going, I'm not far right, I'm just right. You know what I mean? I'm not like trying to force other people, you know, to live the way I live. I'm not trying, you know, I don't want a government that's going to crash and bomb other countries for no good reason but to, you know, profit other men. It is just mind-boggling how they get a hold of these terminologies and these words, and then they demonize it. The Tea Party, I read that article. Remember that article that I passed on to you, where it said that if you ask the questions, you know, do you believe in this, this, and this, and this, and this, 2 to 1, or, you know, 2 out of 3 people identify with Tea Party principles. And that is what's so amazing. Amazing to me is that yet when you say, when they ask the question in a poll, you know, by the moderate pollsters, ask the questions, do you identify with the Tea Party positive or negative? Only 7% do. When they use the word Tea Party, because it's demonized by the right and left in the news, because yep. We care about the Constitution. Why do we care about the Constitution? It's so simple. It puts
all the land.
Constraint. Yeah, for one, and it puts constraint on the government so it cannot lord over your life. So you have the freedom to be an American, to live your life, to prosper, to not prosper, you know, to have a job or become a billionaire. That's America. And they are and for some reason there is a whole big chunk of this society nowadays that thinks that you don't have enough intelligence to be that free. That's what's scary. And maybe they're right. I don't know, Rex. Maybe they're
right.
No,
they're not right. Well,
but I'm being sarcastic, okay? Because, you know, our founding fathers said that, you know, to be free you have to be intelligent. You know, you have to be educated, you have to be moral, you know, you have to have some constraints on yourself, because in a free country, you don't have people walk up and, you know, police on your street and soldiers on your street making sure that you're behaving yourself. You have to be able to behave yourself yourself. You have to have constraint. You have to have discipline. Yep. You have to have some moral fiber. And our founding fathers knew that when they put this the freest nation that had ever existed in the history of the world.
Yep, Chris, and you and I are going to get deep into that when we do this midweek show, probably Tuesday. And remember, this is a special show we're doing on what conservative principles are so that you can articulate them and you can measure your candidates by them instead of just supporting the stupid Republican. Find the real conservatives and find where libertarians and conservatives have common ground. We're going to get to that. And remember that this midweek show is not going to be the Tex and Rex show. This is Liberty's Thunder. Make a note of it. You are live with Rex and Trog on Liberty's Thunder. You also mentioned an article that we talked about. All of the articles are posted on the show page, which right now is the Tex and Rex show page, but the URL is Liberty's Thunder. So go there. If you click on the picture that this show is promoted with, which I believe is a picture of Kabuki Theater, you will have in the comments section all the articles and clips we've used for your reference, and they're also all posted in the Militia of Liberty's Thunder. The URL for that one is Tex and Rex Liberty Militia, but it is the Militia of Liberty's Thunder. So make sure you go there and check it out. But the important thing to realize is that what the Republicans are doing now is what Chris said, that they're basically Democrats. He's absolutely right. These Republicans are using Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals as proficiently as the Democrats have been using it to demonize, quote, Republicans. The Republicans are now using Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals to demonize conservatives, libertarians, and constitutionalists. This is a battle we can win because people believe, by and large, in this country in those principles for which we stand if they can get beyond the labels and the rhetoric. And jerk-offs like O'Reilly and Goldberg are Alinskyites who are trying to pervert the language to box in libertarians, conservatives, and Tea Party and Liberty Movement people. Here's the rest of that section from O'Reilly where they talk about the split in the GOP. Just listen to the language and listen to the way Bernie Goldberg manipulates the language to convince you that conservatives and the far right and libertarians are evil and that, you know, sane Republicans like John McCain and Lindsey Graham and Bob Corker, that's the way you want to go.
Okay. Do you think it's possible that a guy like Ted Cruz or Rand Paul, who's acceptable to the Tea Party, could rally moderate Republicans and independents, maybe even a few conservative Democrats, to the conservative cause with all of the trouble that the Obama administration is now heaping on the nation? Let's say that Obamacare is a disaster this time next year. It hasn't gotten any better. It's worse. People are angry. Couldn't a Cruz or a Paul then rally the folks to the hard right side?
Yeah, if things are horrendously bad, the answer is yes. But anything short of that, I think the answer is no.
Look around,
and I
Bernie.
Think
look
this,
around.
This is the example. This is the evidence of the split, the major split in the Republican Party, the potentially fatal split, because if the Republicans nominate someone that the Tea Party people see as a moderate, as I've said, they may very well sit home. But if they nominate somebody like Ted Cruz, absent this disaster scenario that you put forth, if they nominate somebody like Ted Cruz, let me tell you something. There will be millions of other people who might have voted Republicans who won't vote Republicans. That
Bull
is
crap.
The fundamental problem of today's
you don't
Republican
think Cruz
Party.
Could, for example, because he is of Hispanic heritage, could convince Hispanic Americans that, look, my vision for the country, smaller government, a more conservative approach to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, is better for you. You don't think he could do that? He could bring that in?
I don't. The Tea Party does, and, you know, let's see if they're right. I don't, at least not as of tonight. So here's what the Republicans have to do in light of your question.
Get rid of the conservatives.
If it's somebody like Chris Christie, he has to reach out to the Tea Party and show respect for them and try to win them over and listen to them and make clear we're not going to agree on everything, but you know what? I do respect you. But the Tea Party also has an obligation. They can't be as rigid as they are. Because if they are, I'm telling you, this side will sit home if this guy gets nominated, and this side will sit home if this Republican gets nominated.
Right.
And that's
the
Democrat recipe.
Sit home.
That's that every registered Democrat
they
will vote, and that's a recipe for a Democratic.
We don't stay home. We're active. We're active, and we want to vote for something. What are we rigid about? The Tea Party can't be so rigid. What are we rigid about? We're rigid about the Constitution. We're rigid about liberty. We're rigid about the rule of law. These are not things that this is how things are supposed to work. This is actually what the Republican Party says it stands for. Okay? So, yeah, we're rigid about those things. Yeah, you're damn right we're rigid about the Constitution. We're rigid about liberty. We're rigid about federalism. That's how it's supposed to work. There's not supposed to be a debate in this party about what we're adhering to. This is sheer insanity.
Did you hear what O'Reilly said? He goes, you don't think a guy like Ted Cruz could, you know, pursue the happiness, freedom? and Goldberg goes, no. And I'm like,
well,
what? Pursuit of happiness, freedom, free speech. I mean, the guy's insane. This is the same crap they did with, what was his name? Dole, Bush, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Who was the
McCain.
Other guy in between?
McCain.
Yeah, McCain, Romney. It's the same thing they did. And here's the thing, and I don't know why these guys can't put, you know, 1 + 1 = 2 together, is Obama had millions of people stayed home,
mm-hmm.
You know, because 13%. They didn't want to vote for him.
Yeah, because he wasn't the hopey, changey liberal they thought.
Well, and this is a thing, and we actually talked about this in shows way back when, you know, when we were bringing the numbers out on the numbers of Republicans, Democrats, Independents, which is like 40%, and Independents. You know, that's where you argue. Independents are mm-hmm. moderates. They can hang out in the Republican Party and the Democrat Party and get all kind of moderation and compromise and screw your grandkids into the future, you know, with debt and taxes, because that's really what moderates typically always compromise on.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at independents, your question is, what is an independent and what's important to them? What's important to them is that people stand for what they believe. 90% of the people I've talked to who are independent are there not because of their moderates. They're there because they're sick of the lies and the corruption.
I'm too conservative to be a Republican, hence I'm an independent. So don't call me a moderate. I find that to be an insult. But notice the way they use the words. Bill O'Reilly uses the word hard right. As if it's some kind of evil thing, like these are the Nazis in the Republican Party. That's how he's presenting it. And then the whole thing with can Cruz get the nomination? Bill O'Reilly used such racist terminology as if, first of all, Ted Cruz is not identified as a conservative standard bearer of the young blood that's in the Republican Party. No, Ted Cruz is identified as a Hispanic. And apparently people of Hispanic descent don't understand the Constitution. They don't understand liberty. They don't understand lower taxes and government getting out of their way. The only thing that they would understand is if Ted Cruz spoke to them as a fellow Hispanic. This is Democrat politics. Bill O'Reilly and Bernie Goldberg on the fair and balanced conservative Fox News were using Democratic identity politics terminology. Do you get this yet?
Yeah.
There's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. They use the same tactics to manage your mind. And what they can't stand is when someone like Ted Cruz comes out and actually does what he says he's going to do, stands for what he believes in, doesn't screw over the people who voted for him by going in a different direction, but actually puts forward the agenda for which they elected him. They hate that. They hate that so much because they're full of people like Jihad Jane McComed from Arizona, who is a compromiser from way back when. His buddies in the Hanoi Hilton used to call this son of a bitch Songbird for a reason. Listen to this crazy, insane person. For God's sake, Arizona, please recall McCain. If you don't recall McCain, whatever you do, don't friggin' send him back here ever again. Here's Jihad Jane McComed talking about Ted Cruz.
Where I disagree with Senator Cruz, and I made this statement to him publicly and privately, was shutting down the government injured the people of my state. I am elected to represent them. When we have to fly food from the food banks in Phoenix up to Tucson, that's the community outside the Grand Canyon, because people on minimum wage were out of food, then I have to say, stop, you're wrong, you're crazy. That's what I have to say, and if I sound angry, it's because I have met and talked to constituents of mine who are on minimum wage, who had to resort to food banks. I'm not going to do everything in my power to make sure that that doesn't happen again. And if there was any chance, if there was a snowball's chance in Gila Bend, Arizona, of succeeding, then I could understand it. There was no chance of success. And anybody that believes there is very naive about the Constitution of the United States.
Shut up, fool! Yeah, shut up, fool. Mr. Cisa, shut up, fool. Do you believe this guy? He's angry with Ted Cruz? Good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, he should be angry at Harry Reid for shutting down 15% of the government. And what the hell is he talking about, food banks and minimum wage and had to fly food in? I mean, what a cockamamie frickin' story I've ever heard of. You know, I mean, it's just like, are you seeing? And people are clapping. I couldn't believe it. Number one, Ted Cruz did not shut the damn government down. He did a 21-hour conversation about the hell Obamacare was going to wreak on the country. That's all he did. You know, and the Senate folded in the first vote. So Ted Cruz didn't do anything. Those bills came out of the House. I mean, these people are nuts. You ever look in this guy's eyes? You can't even see his pupils. I'm sorry, but and you said compromise? I don't see any compromise in McCain. I see a total left Democrat operative in the Republican Party for as far back as I can remember him.
Who threw
an election and gave us basically a Marxist.
Yeah, the reason he's a maverick is because he's never been a conservative. He's a maverick in the allegedly conservative party because he's not a conservative. He's a corporatist neocon douchebag that needs to be retired. I'm not even sure he's mentally stable. But the simple fact is that this guy is the epitome of dangerous Republicans, and they made him their standard bearer in 2008, which is why you've got Barack Obama and Obamacare, which is Romney Care. That's why. All right. Now this guy now goes on TV and says, you know, well, the solution to this problem is, first of all, people need to be, you know, they need to keep their insurance if they want to, or at least we'll reinstate them. Really? You're going to force the insurance companies now to sell a product that they haven't priced for because you've already forced them to price for the exchange market? That's nuts, right? And then he continued, second of all, let the insurance companies give a menu of whatever they want to provide. Third of all, medical savings accounts. Fourth of all, medical malpractice reform. Let people go across state lines, too, in order to, if they want to get a better insurance policy in another state, and remove this whole tax incentive for employers to provide employee health care. Well, this was on Greta Van Susteren. She responded to him, that is repeal. And he says, that's exactly right. That is a total repeal in every other way, because what Obamacare is an experiment in social engineering. In other words, making healthy people pay more in order to subsidize the health care for people that are older and unhealthy. That is the ultimate in social engineering. First of all, he's an idiot. Second of all, now he wants a total repeal? Now? Now you want a total repeal, you stupid son of a bitch? That's what Ted Cruz was asking for. That's what Ted Cruz told you not to vote, on the cloture vote the way that you did, you and all the other surrender caucus in the Senate under Mitch McConman from Kentucky, who just needs to be defeated. Kentucky, you got to take this guy out. Don't send him back here. Don't let him be the minority leader of the GOP in the Senate. Or if they take the Senate, don't let him be the majority leader. These people are now speaking for repeal when they can't do much about it. But when they have the opportunity to do something about it, because Mike Lee and Ted Cruz led on this, they handed Harry Reid and Obama everything they wanted. That's the lie. That's what's going on. And what you need to do, if you're in the state with any one of these guys, is you need to get people to go to their offices, get people to follow them around, take cameras with you, go to their town hall meetings, get in their faces. They're all going to go home for Thanksgiving. Get in their faces and call them out and educate the other Republican voters as to why these people are dangerous. Why didn't they stand up for full repeal when they could have done something about it? Chris Christie called this thing a colossal failure or something like that. You know, Ted Cruz's strategy. The strategy would have worked if there was unity behind conservative principles. But these rhinos don't want you to unify behind conservative principles. They want you to just be loyal to the party when it caves and surrenders to the Democrats. That's the problem.
Well, here's an important point. And a lot of people, it happened so fast because we had all these bills coming out of the House, you know, to fund this, to fund that, to fund this, to fund that. And they came out with, you know, full funding the government and delay Obamacare, then, or, you know, repeal Obamacare. Then it was fund the government, delay Obamacare, which is where we're right back to. And we've got Democrats and Republicans now saying this. But then they had all these individual bills, whether it was a VA or whatever, whatever. But the important thing that people didn't catch, unless you were really watching it, which is, like I was saying earlier, I don't want to watch this crap. These people take me off, and it's time-consuming, but I wanted to know what was going on because I'm trying to find out who the liars are. McConnell wrote the bill, and in that bill, they gave Obama an unlimited debt ceiling until January, right? I can't remember. I get a little confused. It was December.
It's
there was
until
January.
February 7th,
right. January is another, you know, discussion point. But basically, the next day after they ran that bill through, everybody was so confused trying to keep up with which bill, what was being, you know, written, what was being voted on. You know, it can become very confusing. They pass a bill. The next day, they spend $400 billion in a heartbeat, just basically refilling all the coffers for the money they've been stealing from other accounts to pay the government that refuses to reform itself. And it's so devious and it's so corrupt. I mean, $400 billion in the blink of a flippin' eye, while the Fed is printing $85 billion a month and shoving it into the system that still hasn't filtered itself down into the consumer market, because when that $1.2 trillion a month that they've been printing, you know, what, for the last 5 years, basically, you know, a little bit of variable in there, but they have at least a $4 trillion balance sheet. When that money finally filters down to the system, and you figure you got a 17, I don't know how many dollars, U.S. dollars, do we actually have out there?
I don't even know what the M1 and the M2 numbers are now, but all I can tell you is that once this money's velocitized, which is a Keynesian term,
inflation is going to explode regardless mm-hmm. who's in power. And this is what people don't understand, which is why we try to do economic, you know, conversations in our shows, because if you don't understand, you know, behind all this crap, Obamacare, NSA, you know, up your nose, down your left leg, thrill up your leg, whatever, all these different topics that everybody gets focused on, none of it matters if they don't get control of our economic situation, because if you're not economically free, you're never going to be free, and you're going to spend your lifetime reacting to the next thing the government does. That's what's got to turn around. That's why you're not supposed to have a huge centralized government, so that you can live your damn life. You know, you can work and make money and keep the money you make and make decisions and buy the damn light bulbs and toilet that you want that work.
Yeah.
You know?
By the
and
way,
you know what I'm
saying?
You can drive.
You know
the
which
car
Republican?
You
know which Republican wrote the bill to take away the light bulbs?
The guy who wrote this stupid bill. Yeah, I know.
The Obamacare fix. Yeah. Mm. That's how this game works, Chris. These guys come out and propose these quote fixes to provide cover for Democrats when they've already had the opportunity to actually solve the problem, and they passed on it by surrendering. That's the problem with rhinos. Folks, there's only less than 9 minutes of live air left. I've got a ton of you listening live. If you're listening in podcast, just keep rolling through. We'll try to wrap it up soon. But if you're listening live and want to continue to listen live, your browser or mobile device will cut you off at midnight, and the only way you can listen is to call in and listen on your phone, using it as a phone, not as a computer or a browser. The call-in number is 646-649-1013. Just call in. I won't be able to take any calls because Chris and I are going to try to wrap up and get out of here, but if you want to continue listening, call in now, 646-649-1013. As always, we appreciate everybody listening, and we hope that you take this information and get it out to people so that conservative and libertarian voters who tend to vote Republican understand that not all Republicans are the same. There are rhinos and there are conservatives, and right now they are waging a rhetorical war against us while providing cover for the Democrats over this Obamacare debacle, which is just the latest in a series of messes that increase corporatism, increase the state, increase the debt, and decrease the private sector, eliminate the chance of recovery, and put you under the boot of a police state. But there are champions of liberty within this dead elephant party that might be able to resurrect it as a conservative party, as the party of Ronald Reagan and Ron Paul and Newt Gingrich, who are all three quite different, but they shared some basic principles, and that's the coalition you need to reform to work together as grassroots. Put money in if you have it. If you don't, put in sweat equity, but create a force multiplier. Get other people involved. Take a listen to the same Atlantic Forum that you just heard John McCain call Ted Cruz crazy. Listen to Ted Cruz talk with that insipid prick, Chris Wallace, about how bad this Obamacare thing is. This clip is about 6 minutes long. It'll take us into over. Chris and I are going to try to wrap up in the next 20, 30 minutes. If you want to listen to it now, 646-649-1013 before this clip is over. Otherwise, remember, you can always go to our show page in Blog Talk Radio and listen to any of the shows anytime in your browser or mobile device, and you can download MP3s by right-clicking the download episode link right below the scrolling graphics. Right now, if you go to Blog Talk Radio, it is Blog Talk Radio, the Tex and Rex Show. That'll be changed soon this week to Liberty's Thunder. That's the new name. You are live with Rex and Trog on Liberty's Thunder. Here's Senator Ted Cruz.
Senate Republican did the same. But my hope is that we'll see Republicans unite in actually listening to the people. And listen, Obamacare provides a perfect example. You're seeing lots of Democrats scrambling, and they're coming up with different proposals, and they're all named clever things. You know, if you like your plan, you can really, really, really keep it. Listen, I don't think people are interested in some cosmetic Band-Aid. Most of these plans are, they have a good title. But if they passed into law, they'd do next to nothing for the millions of people who have lost their health care. And the thing about Obamacare, the 5 million who have lost their health care right now is just the beginning of this. The next shoes that are going to be dropping, one of the next shoes that's going to be dropping is you're going to see more and more people realizing they can't keep their doctor. Texas Oncology, one of the very best cancer centers in Texas, has just announced it's not going to participate in Obamacare. I got to tell you, I've got people who are close friends who are cancer survivors who are discovering now they can't go to their cancer doctor because Obamacare has denied them their doctor. That's the next shoe that's going to fall. After that, you're going to see premiums. This spring, you know, the 100,000 people who have signed up, it is a sign of how this system isn't working. But the consequence of that is this spring, when the next set of premiums comes out, we've seen sticker shock already as premiums have gone up, but the next wave of premiums is likely to go up dramatically. And then the shoe to drop that I think is most damaging potentially is the 90-plus million people who have employer-provided health care. I cannot tell you how many HR directors at big companies have said they're just getting ready to dump all of their employees off of their health care and onto these exchanges. And the trade-off that Obamacare was all about, that the president was not honest with the American people about, is it was a trade-off. It was focused on providing insurance to part of the group of Americans that didn't have insurance, and that is a noble goal. But that trade-off, to provide insurance for tens of millions of people. And CBO estimates that even fully implemented, there'll be 20 to 30 million Americans without insurance. But to provide insurance to those tens of millions of people, the trade-off Obamacare made is that they said, we're going to screw up the insurance of the remaining couple of hundred million people. I think that's a terrible trade-off. And, you know, it's interesting. Back when we were debating Hillary Care, that was the trade-off then. And the reason Hillary Care got voted down is people said, listen, I don't want my insurance screwed up. I don't want to lose my insurance, my family's insurance. I want to still see my doctor. And so what happened here, I mean, the promise that everyone's talking about, if you like your plan, you can keep it, that was not accidental. That was following the lessons from the fight over Hillary Care. What took Hillary Care down is people realized, holy cow, I might lose my health insurance, I might lose my doctor. And the idea that the White House, we now know they did so knowingly and willingly. They simply told the American people it's not going to take away their health insurance when they knew that wasn't true.
But Senator, let me just raise this one issue since you brought back up Obamacare. According to the CBO, Obamacare, and you certainly, you know, and nobody here I think would disagree that it's turning out to have a much worse or at least more frightening impact on people who like their current insurance policies than we were thought it would. On the other hand, it does, according to the CBO, it is going to extend insurance to 30 million people who are currently uninsured. There'll be another 15, 20 million who won't, but 30 million is not nothing, even in Washington. So the question becomes, according to the latest CBO estimate I saw, and it was from several years ago, the latest Republican comprehensive plan would only extend insurance to 3 million uninsured people. How, you know, I'll take your point that there's a lot of eggs being smashed to make the omelet of Obamacare, but how do you help the 30 million or 40 or 50 million people who are now currently uninsured?
Look, if the goal is to address those 30 million, to be honest, it would have been simpler just to send them a check rather than messing up the health care of the remaining 200 million plus Americans. And part of the problem is Obamacare operates from a false premise. If you want to expand access, the way to do so is to increase choice and to drive down cost. The biggest barrier to access is cost. Insurance is too expensive. And a huge driver in cost are all of the mandated coverage. What Obamacare did is it went in the opposite direction. It said, let's add a whole bunch more mandates, which had the inevitable effect of driving up cost. If you mandate, you know, I've used an analogy, let's cars. You know, suppose the federal government mandated the only car that can be sold in America is a Ferrari. Now, if you were lucky enough to have that, that'd be pretty cool. You'd have a Ferrari. It'd be, you know, a great car. The problem is most Americans couldn't afford to buy a car because it would drive off the market options they could choose. That's a little bit of the philosophy of Obamacare. Let's mandate every coverage imaginable, and everyone's got to buy it. So if you're a young, healthy person, you need to buy coverage for a hip replacement. Now, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and what it does is it drives up costs. If you want to expand coverage, and I very much want to expand coverage, we need to go the opposite direction. We need to expand choices in a way that will drive down costs and use the marketplace and competition to do so. So in the coming weeks, I'm going to be rolling out a plan to do exactly that, to repeal Obamacare because it isn't working, but at the same time to allow people to purchase health insurance across state lines, to create a national marketplace so that the competition drives down costs so people can afford health insurance.
We got that is how you get conservative principles articulated and put forward. And he's not only speaking conservatism. This is one of the few men in the Imperial City on the stage of Kabuki Theater that is actually doing things to affect these principles, to affect a free market competitive situation where you have prices coming down, where you have more choices, and where you can actually get more people covered or at least provide them with access to the medical care that they need. Okay? That's how it is done. And you listen to the way that Weasley allegedly, you know, fair and balanced journalist was trying to pigeonhole, you know, the Republican plan is only going to cover 3 million people. The Republican plan? I don't want a Republican plan. I don't want a Democrat plan. I don't want Obamacare. I don't want Hillary care. I don't want McConnell care. I don't want Boehner care. We don't want any of this crap. But the plan is do your job according to the Constitution and let the states handle these things. If you want a socialized health care system in your state, elect people who will get it to you in your state. If you want a free market system in your state, elect people who will get you a free market, and let's see which states do well and which ones fail.
Yeah, and before you decide to push for a socialistic system in your state, you need to really study Massachusetts health care, because they lied their rear ends off through the primary about how wonderful that was. That's a mess up there. And if anybody, you know, and that's just the future of Obamacare times 10, because you're dealing with the federal government versus the state government. But here's an important thing that nobody talks about, Rex, is that one of the main reasons that insurance is so high and medical costs have gone skyrocket is because the tens upon tens of millions of people who are on the Medicaid, Medicare, you know, welfare, whatever, health insurance, and the government pays pennies on the dollar. So what happens is it forces the free market, the hospitals, the doctors, and the insurance companies to have to make up that loss somewhere else. So there's an imbalance, and this started many years ago, and it's gradually gotten worse and worse and worse and worse through the years. Now, doctors used to, because you might have one in 20 customers was a Medicaid or Medicare or whatever, and or a no pay, and you could wash that out in your expenses. Well, now it's, you know, 5 out of 10, and doctors and hospitals and insurance companies can no longer afford this. And so it starts driving costs up. Now, and this goes back to our original conversation, is the free market is not working because the free market is not functioning. We have the government forcing these things down our throats. And if you go to individual states, and California's medical system almost went totally bankrupt because the federal government passes a law and tells these states that you got to take anybody who walks in your door and you have to serve them, whether they're legal or illegal. So you have that issue on top of it. Then you have the issue of frivolous lawsuits. So those three issues are what is destroying the free market system and causing costs to go up. And so you get these liberals and these socialists and communists, and they're going, the system's not working, we need to fix it. No, you're why it's not working, get the hell out of the way. And that's the argument that I don't hear anybody, maybe Cruz or Rand or a few of them, you know, and what we're talking about on here, but very few people talk about why we got here. We are adding onto, and Rand said it in that other clip, you know, we got a $35 trillion unfunded liability with Medicare. $35 trillion. What's our debt? 17, everybody's freaking out, or 17 plus, goes up all the time. And you have a $35 trillion unfunded liability that not one congressman has the gonads to sit down and deal with. And anytime it's brought up that we need to fix this problem, we need to adjust it, we need to change something, whether it's age or whatever, the left starts screaming, oh, my God, you're going to kill grandma. Well, they're going to kill grandma with Obamacare.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just, you know what I mean? It's insane. And the problem is the right or the Republicans don't know how to articulate the message. They don't know how to educate the population. The left controls a majority, and the left controls a majority of the airwaves, and they lie and attack and use Saul Alinsky tactics, and they pick terminology, you know, terrorists and hostage takers, and you're going to kill grandma, and they do ads showing Paul Ryan, you know, throwing grandma off the cliff, and people go ooh and ah as they're watching Kabuki theater, and then they vote for Democrats because they think Republicans are mean and evil. Because the Republicans cannot articulate the message. So you get a guy like Cruz or Rand, both of them articulate very well, very common sense. They break it down. I found, you know, looking at Rand's dialogue, you know, they kind of came at Rand when he kind of lifted up and got in the market with his filibuster and really started getting a name for himself. And they came at him, but after a while they realized, oh, we can't trip this guy up. And so they started being nice to him. And I'm noticing with Cruz, you know, he's been an easy target, and everybody's tried to trip him up because all these these liberal talking heads, they want to be tricky. You know what I mean? They want to get you.
Like
and
Chris
what
Wallace.
Happens with like Chris Wallace, but what I've noticed with almost every Cruz interview is they come at him pretty hard, and then after a while they're just sitting there listening to him.
Litigator.
They know their message, they know what they believe in, and they can articulate it well. And then McCain, he's in a public forum. What does he do? He rants and raves and insults Cruz. I mean, what a child.
Well, you
know. 71-year-old child.
Yeah, well, it's because Cruz is saying what he believes in. He's speaking the truth. He's talking conservative principles. McCain is a liar by nature. He is a rhino because he doesn't believe in conservatism. And that's why
and he's mad.
Their messaging, right, their messaging
he's
isn't
mad.
Working because their message is not true. The conservative
no message.
Message is true. So people like Cruz can actually articulate it. People like McCain can't. But, you know, are the Republicans mean and heartless?
To the primary.
Yeah, are the Republicans mean and heartless? Yeah, they are. People like McCain, people like Graham, they are mean and heartless. But people like Cruz, people like Rand Paul, Mike Lee, Justin Amash, Craig Gowdy, these are the real conservatives that are standing on principle and speaking the truth and taking action to effect it. And the whole idea, the real problem with this, okay, is what Hayek talked about and what Mises talked about, is that it is impossible to do economic calculation in a command system because there are billions of independent calculations that no one person or no one agency or no one bureaucracy can manage efficiently. You're seeing it with this website debacle. You're seeing it now with people losing their insurance, more people losing their current insurance coverage with which they were happy than people who were uninsured before getting insured. And these exchanges, for the most part, a ratio of, I think, 4-to-1, it's expanding Medicaid. It's not even really insurance. It's already a broke system that is already mismanaged by government and the doctors don't want to participate in. They're only making a problem worse. And what they do, and they've been doing this since World War II, because this is when their, you know, socialistic dream of a single-payer system came about, and they've been working towards it. They've been working towards it since World War II, and what they do is they break the system by coupling your medical insurance with your employment, and then, you know, giving tax incentives if you buy it through your company versus if you buy it on your own, all these kinds of, so they cripple the free market, and then they point to the free market. They blame the free market for the problem. The problem is the interference with the free market because these insurance companies want to sell their product. In order to sell their product, it has to actually work when you need it. It has to be priced so that you can afford it. And the insurance company has to be profitable enough to be able to actually pay the claims. That's how it works in a free market system. When you start screwing with it, you get this debacle of a problem, and you get distortions of supply and demand, bad pricing, and low quality. And that's exactly what they're pushing forward, and the fact is, that they tried this over and over and over again. They tried it in the 90s with Hillary Care and Newt Gingrich, another conservative, despite what some of you might think about him. He's a real conservative, and he did work this well. He put a stop to Hillary Care. Then you get Romney Care, which is subsidized by the federal government. That's the only reason that it, quote, works, even though it really doesn't work.
Huge Medicaid dollars were shifted in that debacle.
Right. Well, Romney knows where the money is. The money's in D.C. He's going to go get the money. That's how he did it. And then he wants to run as the severely conservative Republican candidate to repeal Obamacare, which is the guy that worked on the bill said it's the same effing bill as Obamacare. Romneycare is the same effing bill as Obamacare. That's the problem with rhinos. People don't believe in them. People don't get inspired by them. People won't go out and door knock for them. You're the grassroots. You believe in these principles. You believe in the Constitution. You want someone that you can actually support. Go find that person and get 10 other people to work with you to support that person. Doesn't matter what party they're in. Unfortunately, it has to be either Democrat or Republican on the national level. Go ahead.
I just wanted to add one thing on the rhino notion, talking about Romney, is that rhinos are better, and same with the McCain clip. Rhinos are better at attacking fellow Republicans than they are fighting and attacking Democrats. And that's
they spend sad, more time
but
and money
very
doing
true.
It.
Yeah, it's sad but true.
No, it's absolutely the case. So what is this kabuki theater? This kabuki theater is a game that both sides are playing.
in order to get you all riled up so that you can focus on being pissed off at Obama and the Democrats while the progressive corporatist rhinos run roughshod over your conservatives and libertarians. Or they get you infighting between conservatives and libertarians so that you can peel off 55,000 votes of the fake libertarian in the Commonwealth of Virginia and cost the real conservative the election, which only bolsters the CLEC, the consultant lobbyist and establishment complex, over and against the grassroots, the conservatives, the Tea Party, the Liberty Movement. And we outnumber them. That's the crazy thing. We outnumber them, but we're not organized. You know why we're not organized? Because we're doing our own thing. That's the whole point of being a conservative or libertarian. I want to do my own thing. I want to work in my own community. Leave me alone all the way from Washington, D.C., although for some of us it's not that far away, unfortunately, and I can smell it from here, and it doesn't smell like Kabuki Theater, and I'm not talking about the Anacostia River. I'm talking about the stench of corruption that comes out of D.C., but it's permeating the whole country. And it's up to you to stop it. So don't feel dejected. Don't feel despondent. Don't be distracted by the noise and the Alinsky tactics and the rhetoric. Just educate and inform other people who are like-minded in principle and get them to work with you to help the conservatives and libertarians take over this party and make 2014 the conservative revolution bigger than 2010, bigger than 94. And then we can make 2016 bigger than 1980 and 1984. All right. I was going to go to you.
Sorry.
Why don't you make a comment on this and then go to final thoughts, and we'll try to wrap up.
Yeah, I just wanted to add this one thing, and this is important. It goes back to my conversation about, you know, understanding economics and how important this is. When you look at the Great Depression and then you look at World War One. And that whole dynamics there. And then you look at the economy, the ups and downs of the economy coming out of World War One, and then you look at World War Two and the explosive economy from 1945 all the way up through, you know, this last crash. And, of course, we've had ups and downs, and we've had other issues. We can get into the, you know, Nixon taking us off the gold standard and everything else. But here was a key thing. And we've had this conversation before, but it's always worth repeating. When we had, we were still recovering from the Great Depression when we went into World War II. You know, we were still struggling. People were not, there wasn't a lot of individual prosperity and things like that. But when we went into World War II, we bombed the crap out of the industry of the world. You know, that war covered a lot of space. And the factories of the world were basically blown up, our enemies, Germany, Italy, whatever, Japan. And so we had built all these factories in America. And those factories were, you know, for the war machine because it was a monstrous war. But after the war, and, of course, we had the Korean War right afterwards, too, so a lot of it was still churning. But, you know, a lot of it was transferring, you know, existing military equipment into Korea. But they were able to take those factories. The rest of the world was rubble, and America was untouched. And so those factories were converted into productivity and invention, and we had an explosion, economic explosion coming out of that, that created, really for the first time in the history of the world, a true middle class. Now, when we look at our, you know, the dot-bomb crash back in the late 90s, and then we look at what we just are went through and are still going through, and the world is going through, America has run off most of its manufacturing base. I mean, we import it. We have $50 billion a month trade imbalance or more. I don't know what it is. I'd have to look it up. But what used to be $50 billion a month, we don't make anything. Everything you buy is from somewhere else. We export we import products and products from other countries, and we export our debt. That's what our economy is now. And so when you've heard people talk about this, and Santorum talked about it in the primary, but he didn't have a clue what he was talking about. And I'm sorry if you love Santorum, but he doesn't understand what it takes to reinvigorate industry in America. And there's another part about industry in America that you will never convert back to, and that is robotics and technology. You're not going to have 10 people standing there doing what one machine can do. That will never change. We're not going to go back and, you know, like with Obama and his stupid ATM conversation, you know, we're not going to rip the ATMs out of the wall so that you can put two workers in the bank. I mean, we're not going backwards. So one of the challenges that we're facing in this whole mess that we're in is we've run our companies off. Our taxes are too high, our regulations too high, and all those tax incentives that corporations used to have to maintain retirement accounts for people, health care, and all those big package benefits that our parents, you know, enjoyed, that doesn't exist anymore in this country. And so that whole dynamic has changed. And so these people who keep dangling these carrots over your head over these issues, it is not going to work the same. The constraints have to be ripped out by the roots so that the free market can churn and develop again. And it's going to take a while for it to happen, but it needs to start now, not later. And that's why another reason that 2014 is so important. You know, these corporations are not going to come back to America and bring trillions of dollars back to this country so they can come here and be overregulated, overtaxed, and abused by crooked politicians. They're going to stay where they're at in other countries manufacturing and developing where they can function and they have reasonable tax rates. I mean, Canada's, what, 15% corporate tax rate?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it's just insane. We're one of the highest in the world, and the government keeps raising taxes. We just had another tax increase, raising taxes and taking and over-regulating, which is just another expense, and taking away the incentive to be in this country.
Yep.
It's just an important economical conversation to have at this point. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, and before your final thought, let me just comment on this. I mean, we did blow up most of the world in World War II, so you had the manufacturing capacity turned to private industry, which is why our tax rates were so high and our economy was still growing. But now we've got competition. Of course, we didn't blow up any of the IG Farben Rockefeller factories in Germany. Those were untouched for some odd reason. You do the math on that one. But what you're talking about is a very important thing to understand because people fear change. It's just an instinctual thing we all have at our core, but you have to learn, teach yourself to embrace it. Now, I'm not talking about fundamental transformation of our country or some amorphous change. I'm talking about economic change in the form of creative destruction. You mentioned robotics. You've talked about the ATM. Yeah, we're not going to go backwards unless the whole economy collapses, and then the only thing that will be working is agriculture and all, you know, living off the land because your modern complex economy has been completely obliterated. But if we are truly going to have a recovery, we're going to peel back these taxes, we're going to peel back these regulations, we're going to let the free market do what it does within the regulatory constraints that are needed to create an ordered system, okay, rather than crush it, then you're going to get creative destruction. But creative destruction is to be embraced. If you were in one of the industries like, oh, I don't know, let's say the horse and buggy industry, and here comes this thing, this horseless carriage with this internal combustion engine, you were thinking, oh, crap, the tax shop is going to go out of business. I'm not going to be repairing the wheels. I'm not going to be shoeing the horses. Well, you might have to go get some new skills. And in some sense, government might have some responsibility there at a local level if it's really necessary to keep people employed. But it doesn't have to be a federal program because different states will be affected by different things. And the simple fact is that internal combustion engine, which wiped out the horse and buggy industry, except that now the horse and buggy industry does exist for things like weddings, okay, it's a niche product, okay, but as an industry it was wiped out. But the internal combustion engine, especially when Henry Ford developed the assembly line and came up with the Model T Ford so that those people working on his assembly line could actually afford a vehicle, it benefited everybody. And now trucks deliver most of the goods and services that we use, you know, the goods that we use in day-to-day life, and that's because of the internal combustion engine. So what we need to do is learn to move forward. Now, a lot of people in the industrial economy were trained to do industrial jobs, and we should have manufacturing. But look at what information technology has done. There's a whole new set of skills and a whole new set of engineers and a whole new set of products and a whole new set of things.
And that's most of the new wealth. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Exactly. But then look at what happens when you hire some of these people in this industry. You don't know their head from their ass to build a website for the government. It costs 600 times more than it should, and it doesn't work. You know, real simple. Look at Jeff Bezos. He decided, hey, this internet thing is pretty cool. I'm going to put everything online. My company is going to be called Amazon because it's going to have everything from A to Z. Notice with Amazon, their logo, it has an arrow pointing from the A to the Z in Amazon because Amazon offers everything from A to Z online. They deliver on time. It's easy to get it. Their prices are good. Their website works. Their customer service is good if you need to return something. And now other people are able to sell their goods and services through the Amazon marketplace. It's not like Obamacare. It actually works. And now what has the government done? They've decided to tax these smaller distributors through Amazon, so now that some of them are going to go out of business. Again, the government destroys the free market, which puts people out of work, and it diminishes everybody's wealth. And that is what we have to focus on in our medical delivery system and our insurance system, which should be done on a state-by-state level in a far more free market-oriented approach. The best solution to the delivery of health care is to undo most of the damage that the federal government has done over the last 60 years. The rhinos don't want to do that because the companies that benefit from this draconian system support and fund the rhinos and the Democrats. The real conservatives are a threat to these entrenched corporatist interests. Ken Cuccinelli was not supported by the business interests in the Commonwealth of Virginia because he talked about eliminating a lot of the large corporate loopholes in the tax system in order to benefit small and mid-sized businesses and make it a more level playing field and a more free market-oriented system. That's why the rhinos are so dangerous. So, Chris, let's go to final thoughts on the Kabuki Theater.
Well, in terms of the Kabuki Theater and Obamacare, there's some other factors, and we didn't really get into it that much because it's just starting to be revealed. People have predicted it, but I've also heard some very good talks on it, and that is not only are, they're trying to deal with this high number of people that don't have insurance. Well, that's an arguable number, and Mark Levin breaks it down because you have a lot of people who choose not to get on insurance, not just a bunch of poor people who can't afford insurance, because if you're at a certain poverty level, you're going to be on Medicaid in your state anyway. So there's some smoke and mirrors around this number that they've used to sell this thing. A lot of young people, healthy young people, don't buy insurance. I didn't. I went to the doctor and paid cash. And for a big chunk of my life, and even when I had insurance, most of my general stuff, going to the doctor, getting this, that, and the other, I just paid for it. I wanted that insurance for the big stuff. And so, when you break the numbers down, the CBO actually predicts that we're going to end up with the same or more people off insurance by the time we throw $2.3 trillion down the drain, which we don't have. We are not fixing the system. Now, that's one point. The second part of that point is the fact that we're already short on doctors in this country. I know we've been short on nurses for years. I have full care handicapped sons, so I'm, pretty tuned to the medical industry. And we have a shortage of nurses, for one, and a lot of states are doing what they can, whether they're changing, parameters or requirements or whatever, really pushing to get people into the nursing industry, but we also have a lot of doctors who are getting towards retirement, and they're looking at Obamacare. We've heard from a lot of these doctors, and Dr. Carson has talked about it, but a lot of doctors are going, I don't need this crap anymore. I've worked hard my whole life. I went to school for 15 frickin' years, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, and all the money they have to spend with all the regulations, and one of the biggest abuses is, the frivolous lawsuit issue again and what that costs in medical practice. A lot of doctors are going, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, and they're leaving the industry. And they're saying, the numbers I was reading in an article today said that we're dealing with potentially 80 to 90% less doctors next year as these doctors just throw up their hands and walk away and retire and do whatever, move on with their life because they're sick of this government intervention in their practices. So we're going to have less doctors. And you know, when you talk, and then you couple this with the whole amnesty thing and the desire, you know, the desire for the left is to shove all those people on Obamacare as fast as possible. Well, if they're poverty stricken and they're broke or poor or whatever, they're going to get all kinds of subsidies. We just created, you know, 10 million people or whatever the number may be onto another broke subsidy that's costing us trillions of dollars that we don't have the money for. So there's another dynamics there. And then the final one is we're not getting more doctors. We're not getting new doctors. People are standing back going, why do I want to go to college for 15 years to go work at a standard paid job? You know, I can go be a welder and make more money. And so you've got that dynamics. So there's so many factors behind the scenes that are not being talked about. A few people are. But most of the conversation is not about some of these real issues that we're going to be facing. The other one and the final one is, you know, the Medicare cuts, which Obama did. And so I'm reading an article right before the show, and there's and just like one company, because they're getting cut, you know, their flow of money from the federal government that allows them to then decide, you know, how many doctors they have on their rolls that they can disperse this money to, you know, and they're cutting doctors. So the next shoe, which Ted Cruz said, is going to be, are you going to be able to keep your doctor? Probably not. And we don't know how bad that's going to be, but just the things that I've read and heard about, it's looking pretty bad. And so, and then you have the final, then you have that final component of that Medicaid Obamacare issue is there's a lot of medical professionals who are moving, they're just tired of dealing with Medicaid and Medicare because they've got so many pressures and costs on top of everything else, and they're either not taking new patients, and I've experienced this in my own life, not taking new patients, or they're starting to turn down existing patients. So here we are back full circle is you ain't going to be able to keep your doctor. And this isn't just going to impact poor people. It's going to impact the elderly, the disabled, you know, anybody who deals with that Medicaid, Medicare world. So this is a freaking mess, Rex. I mean, I hate this conversation, to be honest with you, because it's an easy one to me. You know, we've known it for a long time that this was going to be a mess, and you get caught in this conversation of having to go over these details. Like, I knew this crap a long time ago, but it's an important conversation because this is not just about putting seatbelts in cars and the inconvenience and the cost of now I got to have a damn seatbelt in my car. This is a fifth of our or a sixth of our economy. But in reality, it's going to impact 100% of our economy because of what it's doing to individual people's lives. So I kind of a depressing thought. You know, when I go down through that stuff. The good news is there's real people fighting it. There's Democrats that are scared to death of losing their seats in 2014. And, you know, and contrary to what John McCain, you know, the maverick said, is this thing can be repealed. And I don't think, you know, a delay is nice, but really all a delay does is give the Democrats political power in 2014 in the elections. Just it takes the pressure off of them. It's like the corporate mandate and the unions. That took a lot of pressure off of them politically. You know, and you deal with the individual mandate, and you delay that, then they can run out there and make all kinds of lies and false promises like they did to get Obamacare passed and try to get reelected. And so I'm not really fired up about the delay, but, you know, that may be all we get.
I mean, the delay, remember, was a compromise during the shutdown debate. They were originally going for a repeal. They were going to settle for a delay. Now that the debacle is going exactly the way that Ted Cruz said that it would before the shutdown when he was trying to repeal it, now full repeal is definitely on the table. But the Republicans, the rhinos, have to actually step to it. And that's what this is about. The Kabuki Theater is about the Republican rhinos and the Democrats pretending to be in conflict, just like professional wrestling. You know, you're the bad guy this week, I'm the good guy, and vice versa. Okay, that's the game that they're playing. And the way you undo this game is expose the rhinos for the liars that they are and support the conservatives. Don't send any money to the party. Send it to individual candidates. And don't nitpick over, well, Justin Amash is too liberal on foreign policy. And Rand Paul, he's not like Ron Paul. I don't care. Okay? Look at the broad principles and find agreement on 80%. And you can fight about the other 20% later when we get the ship righted. Until then, this is an existential threat. We are either going to, as Newt Gingrich said in the last election, we need to put bold conservative ideas forward to unleash the power of this country rather than hire somebody who's going to manage the decline. That's what you had in Mitt Romney. That's what you've got with Barack Obama. That's what you're going to get with rhino squishes like Corker and McCain and McConman from Kentucky and all those other losers. It's up to you to stop them. Rex and Trog will be here Sunday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, not on the Tex and Rex show, but on Liberty's Thunder. Make sure you get that out there to people. Liberty's Thunder, delivering irreverent, relevant conservatism with a bite. Every Sunday night at 10.
You want me to read this that you posted?
Well, let's close. I want you to keep in mind a couple of things. The Kabuki Theater may not be the most entertaining form of theater out there. You might like it, but when it's being played upon you in order to scam you into voting for one party or the other, voting the bums out, getting the other guys in when there's no difference between their policies, is not going to change anything. It's only going to make things worse. And I don't want to wax too theological, but remember something. The Bible is to be prayed as a spiritual edification, but it also has practical applications on a practical level, a temporal level. Some of the readings from today's Mass could be very appropriate for what we're looking at today. In St. Paul's letter, he writes, in fact, when we were with you, we instructed you that if anyone was unwilling to work, neither should that one eat. We hear that some are conducting themselves among you in a disorderly way, by not keeping busy, but by binding the business of others. Such people we instruct and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to quietly, to work quietly and eat their own food. Okay, now, there's a lot of meanings to that, but the point you want to take away from is that some Republicans in the GOP are acting in a disorderly manner. They are the ones that are not in keeping with the Constitution. They are the ones that are not in keeping with the platform. They are the ones that are screwing up conservatism in your name, and they are calling you the rhinos. They are saying the Tea Party and Liberty Movement people are the dangerous far right, and they have to be stopped. And you're going to let them get away with that? I don't think so. There's more of us than there is of them. You need to get busy. You need to create a force multiplier. And we also had at the very end of today was a reading from Luke where he finished with, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. It requires perseverance. It requires work. It requires action. It requires getting others involved, making them awake, and getting them to support the individual conservative candidates over and against the rhino infiltrators so that we can defeat the Democrat agenda of turning this country into a socialist paradise, which, if you look at every other socialist country, is basically a wasteland with no economic opportunity, with high unemployment, especially for the young, where people are fighting over scraps, and the government hands out favors to all those who are entrenched with it, and everybody else gets screwed. That's not America. That's not the country that our founding fathers gave us. That is not the country we are going to give to our children. But now is the time to stand up and fight with people like Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, Justin Amash, Trey Gowdy. Get busy. Get excited because you're here right now so that you can make a difference and reclaim liberty for your posterity. This is Rex and Trog on Liberty's Thunder, signing off.
I'm going to read this. Though the flame of liberty may sometimes cease to shine, the coal can never expire. That's really good.
See you midweek.
Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz may have been watching. He's been relentless in his opposition to Obamacare. And so, Senator Cruz, what I glean from the interview is it's, I think, Fox News' fault. And it is irrelevant whether they knew that the individual insurance market would essentially go away when they were promising people that they could keep their plans if they liked them. Your thoughts?
Well, Megan, I do agree. I guess you should have been a better computer programmer, and it's your fault personally that healthcare.gov is not working. I thought that interview was really revealing because the question that he did not want to answer is what do you say to the 5 million Americans who've already lost their health care, who were told by the president, if you like your plan, you can keep it, and who have discovered that that promise was willfully, knowingly false. And he doesn't have an answer to them. And that's happening all over the country. It's the latest indication of why this law just isn't working and why you're starting to see really bipartisan agreement that it's not working.
What is this like for you now? Because you were so criticized and ridiculed for holding up the government and doing what you did to try to stop this law from rolling out. And now that we see bipartisan outrage in response to the law, what's it like for you?
Well, look, it's heartbreaking that so many Americans are being hurt by this. And what it really is vindication for the millions of Americans who months ago said Obamacare isn't working, it's killing our jobs, and it's risking our health care. And unfortunately, the Washington establishment didn't listen to millions of Americans who saw this coming, who predicted it, and said, let's stop it. But now, you know, the real difference is we're seeing real people who are suffering, who are hurting, who are losing their health care. You know, all you have to do is travel the state of Texas, as I do often, or travel anywhere in the country, and visit with any of the millions of people who are getting these cancellation notices. You know, you talk to mothers who have kids with diabetes and serious health issues who suddenly lost their health care, and they're scared, and it was all caused by Congress. This thing isn't working, and we need to start over. We need to stop this bill.
What could possibly fix it now? I mean, these plans to make people keep the insurance, okay, maybe that could help people not get canceled if they haven't been canceled yet, but the, you know, 5 million people have already been canceled? How can it be solved for them?
No, the bills that the White House and some of the Democrats are talking about, they're all tinkering around the edges. They're not going to make a difference to the 5 million people who have lost their health care already, and they're not going to make a difference to the 90-plus million who have employer-provided health care and who are at risk of losing their health care as well. The only way to stop these problems is to admit this idea was fundamentally flawed to begin with. We got to start over. And you know, at this point, starting over, stopping Obamacare, I think is the essence of pragmatism. 3.5 years ago, reasonable minds could have differed on whether Obamacare could work. But at this point, nobody's defending it. It isn't working. And we ought to say, as a reasonable, pragmatic, middle-of-the-ground outcome, let's stop, let's start over, and let's, number one, as the Hippocratic Oath says, do no harm, stop taking away people's health care.
And so now you're calling for what?
Well, I think we need to do two things. Number one, we need to suspend Obamacare. We need to repeal it altogether because it's not working. Not fiddle around the edges, but acknowledge this thing is fundamentally flawed. And then number two, we need positive health care reform, most importantly, to empower consumers to purchase health insurance across state lines, to create a true national market so that your health insurance can be affordable, personal, portable. And in the coming weeks, I intend to lay out a plan to provide exactly that, a plan to repeal Obamacare altogether and at the same time expand options for the 5 million plus people who have lost their health insurance and 300 million people across this country to expand their options to have affordable, personal, portable health care.
Senator Ted Cruz, thanks for being here.
It's always great to be with you, Megan. Thank you.
See you soon.